Oh, thank you so much, Steve Bertrand. Hi, everybody. It's me, Bill Leff. Now, Wendy, who's usually here with me, is taking the day off. She is on jury duty.
Oh, well, that's not taking the day off, Bill. That's doing the people's work. That's your civic duty.
Doing what you were supposed to do.
America.
Right, right.
I wonder if she'll get a good case. You know, sometimes it's, you know, ordinary cases where you sit there struggling, trying to make some connection that'll kind of
right.
You know, make it so that you shouldn't be there. Like, hey, I eat bread and this is about.
Well, she said yesterday, and the other voice you're hearing, by the way, is that of Dane Neils. We'll explain what Dane is doing here in a little bit. Not that you shouldn't just be here. I'm not saying leave. I'm just saying that you have exciting new news about your role here at WGN. Wendy was saying yesterday that she's the only person, and I think this may be true, who is so looking forward to jury duty. She's never sat on a jury before.
Really? Oh,
and
wow.
Loves the process. And I don't know if you saw the O.J. Simpson miniseries that was on a show.
I'm not familiar
ago.
With that. Was that a big thing? The trial?
The trial was big. The miniseries was big. The lunchboxes, the action figures. It just continues to get bigger and bigger. But she said that she's afraid. She wants to do one of the high-profile cases, but she's afraid that it'll be very time-consuming because you can get on a jury that's 6 or 8 months.
I know what you're thinking, Bill. You're thinking there's got to be some way here in kind of the think tank to have that sort of streamlined juror experience.
Yes.
Because everybody wants to experience, but who's got the time?
Well, that's why I've developed the juror app.
I thought 7-minute juror
right.
Instead of abs.
You can, no. It's like the abdominizer, but it's different. You're a juror. For 7 minutes, they throw you the case. You decide with 11 strangers at random, guilty or not guilty, and then you get on with your life. She's very much looking forward to it. She's not been chosen yet. That's what today's process is. I said there's so many ways to not be chosen. I could give you a dozen ways to just not be chosen, but she wants to be.
If it's some traffic-related case or something like that, all you do is mention that you drive cars.
Right.
Or that whatever the thing is, you know, that like you're against that, you're for that. I've only had jury duty twice ever, and I was always part of that. And if people kind of remember, they usually have a bunch of people show up, way more than they'll ever need.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And they tell half of them to go home right away. I've always been in the go-home half.
What, and they base that on what exactly? They just look at you
just
and they
numbers,
say, this
I think.
Is just not for us?
I don't I would hope not, but maybe, right? I don't think it works that way. I think they just hope they have enough people.
Yeah.
And then they tell some to go home. Yeah, I don't know. Or maybe you're in the first. I never really got too far in the process. But,
yeah.
But I think it would be, you know, you watch enough of that true crime stuff. And
you pick up tips.
Yeah, I mean, you just think, like, what would you do? Because in all of the, you know, the Bill Curtis shows, and they do the trial, and the guy's always, it's always guilty, right? He always killed his wife for the insurance money. That's
yep.
it. That's like a...
Every episode.
It's a broken record. But you wonder, you know, why it took them, you know, with all the evidence they show in the show, why does it take them, you know, 2 days to figure it out?
Right.
I know there's a process.
Right. I think if I was like on the fence of they might choose me and they might not choose me and I didn't want to be chosen, the best way to do it is during the process she's going through today, the interview process.
Just act crazy?
You bring a puppet with you, and when they ask you a question, you have the puppet answer. Do you promise to be fair and impartial throughout?
Yes, absolutely. I promise to be fair and impartial throughout the entire proceedings.
Can Mr. Happy
right.
join the jury? Wouldn't that make it? Is he the deciding vote? He's a tiebreaker.
You pick me, you pick him. Yeah. It's one or both.
You know, you have some people that are always kind of look, and that's kind of the thing, looking to get out of jury duty.
Of course.
That's the common thing. I don't want to jinx it and say, I think it would be fun. And then you're on a, you know, a 2-year sequestered situation.
I know.
Because that would obviously be an inconvenience. But
you say inconvenience, but I think you get paid like $12 a day. You make out like a bandit. A crazy amount of money.
How do they come up with that figure?
I don't know.
Is it like, that's what it technically costs to keep you alive.
Yeah.
Therefore,
$12 a day.
And if you're in a sequestered situation where you know you're not allowed to either watch television or read the papers, or is it on the kind of the honor system, like the candy bar thing, you know, upstairs where you've got to put the change in? Do they just say like, well, if it comes on and you know it's about the big murder trial,
right?
Look away.
I wonder how deep they take that. I remember back in the days when I did stand-up comedy, there was a club that I was working in Indianapolis, and they told us before one of the shows that they were bringing in, they were bringing in a sequestered jury. So they gave us a list of things we could not discuss.
Is that like a tough crowd exercise or something?
Boy, is it. It really is. We had a list of about 25 things we could not mention, and some of them made perfect sense. Like there was some case, and I don't even remember what the case was, but there was some case
the Lindbergh
that was going
baby?
On. Yeah, it was the Lindbergh baby case.
That's a famous one.
Please don't mention aviation in any respect. All right, I won't.
Anything with toddlers, that's off limits.
I usually do, but this one show I won't. But there, I mean, some of them made sense. It was all things having to do with the case. But then there were other things just thrown in there at random that we weren't allowed to mention during our stand-up.
Butternut squash.
Right, please.
Steer clear.
Could have been used as a weapon, potentially. Just don't mention butternut squash. All right, if I can't, I can't. I understand that.
Yeah, I would just, I don't know. I think it would be, it's one of those things like in life that you'd want to climb the Matterhorn.
Do it once.
Do jury duty once.
Once.
I don't need to bungee cord. I don't need to skydive. Just,
right.
But I think that would be interesting just to see how the whole process works.
Yeah.
It would be interesting to be in that jury room where you've got, let's say, your own idea and there's a couple crazy jurors that,
right.
for whatever reason, just don't agree with every, because that's how it happens. You know, you have one or two that just aren't, you know, just are not agreeing and everybody else seems to make sense. And then there's somebody who
you
says,
always
like,
get a
you gotta let him go.
Right, of course. All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break. Dane Neal is sitting in for Wendy. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200 is the way to do it. That's our phone line and our text line. It's Bill and Dane, WGN, is sitting in. Now, Dane, there have been some changes announced for the lineup here at WGN Radio. We talked about them a little bit yesterday. The show that Wendy and I do, our show, will be on for the first half, just like normal, from 10 to noon. But then starting in March the 13th, the second half of our show gets a little bit tricky. We'll be doing it online. And
that's going to be a lot of fun.
It'll be fun. John Williams is coming back. Steve's show remains intact. The Wintrust Business Lunch will be on from noon to 1. And then where our show normally was, the second half, John Williams is coming back to town, and that starts on March the 13th. Now, all this is good news for you because you have been given, and well-deserved, your own show on the weekends.
Yeah. Oh, it's going to be great. First off, I think the abbreviated time is just to accommodate Wendy's juror schedule.
Right.
Right. And then once she's done.
She has a lot more cases coming up in the spring that she could potentially be a juror on. So
when you're really good at it, you know, they just ask you to keep doing more. Right.
Right.
Yeah. Excited to do on the weekends. We're going to have a show called On the Road, and it is going to be a kind of an automotive motorsports lifestyle show. I know people are thinking like, well, geez, Dane, why would you want to do that? You know, in the radio world, like before I was doing all of the food stuff, and I've continued to do a lot of that stuff since then. So the food stuff's been maybe the last 10 or so years as kind of that thing went on, and still be doing all of that stuff. So still doing all the food stuff, got some national stuff and some other things as well. But I had created and hosted really what was kind of the first non-regional syndicated program around auto racing. It's called Gasoline Alley. It highlighted, you know, NASCAR, IndyCar, NHRA, drag racing, and kind of the stars of motorsports. So having it here, you know, this isn't necessarily a sports station, but we do have a lot of car buffs and and car fans. You look at the cruise nights that are that are all over there, and so many people excited about the car situation. So what we're going to do is we're going to have a place for fans of kind of the automotive and car world. We're going to do some updates on the communities and the different cruise nights and car shows. We're going to have some of the biggest kind of stars or icons.
I've seen some of the names you already have lined up, and I don't know much about the world of auto racing, but they're names that I go, oh, that guy and that guy and that guy. You've got some big girl.
We're going to have Danica Patrick's going to be part of it. But here's the thing. Everybody kind of knows the stuff that they do on weekends for a few hours. Mm-hmm. But we're going to do the same kind of lifestyle interviews that I would do with with you know, food stars, where you kind of get that viewpoint behind the scenes, like who they are, their family, their likes, their passions, stuff that they do on a regular basis off of the track. And it'll be exciting for them with some of the stuff that we've talked about already, because they don't usually have, you know, that platform.
Right.
So we're going to be doing a bunch of that. Plus, here's the other thing too. I'm sure, Bill, you remember, did you take any of those family truckster vacations where everybody piled into the Winnebago or whatever? And then
we had a station wagon, but we did some.
And you headed to the Grand Canyon or some of those.
Well, yeah, sure.
We're going to highlight some of the great road trips and some of those car related experiences. Even if you aren't necessarily like an auto racing fan, everybody still has a connection with the car.
Yeah.
And so we'll highlight some of those. We'll take you on some of those trips, you know, whether it's like the coast of California or whether it is, you know, historic and legendary Route 66. So we'll do some of those. And we're going to give the listeners a lot of opportunities to To chime in and participate. What was your first car, Bill? Do you remember your first car?
Yeah, I inherited a Thunderbird that was the size of this studio. I learned to drive that car, and my parents even said when they were teaching me to drive, if you can parallel park this car, you can parallel park anything, and it's true. It was a gigantic car.
It was like 40 feet. I had a 1974 Monte Carlo.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought it was just the coolest car ever because it had sort of like that sticker tint on the window, and it had a cassette player with, I think there was like a Van Halen cassette stuck in there for about 8 months, but ice cold air conditioning.
Oh, though. What else do you need?
Right.
I still remember when my dad bought that car, the salesman, it was a red car. It was a red Thunderbird. But anytime anyone would say red, the salesman would correct him and he'd go, candy apple red. Every single time. Because you could go, I like the blue one, but the red one.
It's Corinthian Sunset, Bill.
Right. It's not brown. It's Corinthian Sunset. It's not red. It's candy apple red. But, there's something about cars, and I don't know, this is a good question, because I don't know the answer to this. Is that experience uniquely American? Everything you just described seems so American to me. Does that love affair go on in other parts of the world?
Well, I think Americans have, a very unique love affair with the automobile, and always have, where it was seen as the way that people, enjoyed themselves, whether it was the way to get out, whether it was a status symbol.
Yeah.
It's one of those things. I don't know that it exists in some countries. Transportation and basically a car is,
it's just a necessity.
That's just what it is. You need to get from point A to point B. There are certain countries, your Germany or Italy or whatever, that have really taken hold and are making some of the greatest cars out there. And so we'll talk to, about some of those as well, but also just kind of the regular cars and people's kind of stories along with it. Did you ever, what was the first time you ever got pulled over? Now that we talked about, you could be in front of, Wendy, in a trial situation.
I still remember it. It was on I-57, and I was going 3 miles over the speed limit. The speed limit was 55, and I was doing 58. And I was reasoning with the officer, saying, "You must have better things to do," which I've since learned is not a good attitude.
I think they're publishing now this guidebook of protocol, right. And that would be in there, like, don't suggest other activities.
He told me that exactly. He said, he goes, "Have you ever been pulled over before?" And I said, "No, this is my first time." And he said, "A word of caution to you in the future, what you're doing now, the worst idea." And I go, "I'm just saying, there's guys going way faster than me." But I did get a ticket for going 58 into 55.
I think everybody remembers their first car. They certainly remember, hopefully, the first time they were, if it wasn't, an innocent type situation.
Yeah.
Like my first time, got the same exact day, took a left turn when I wasn't supposed to take a left turn, got pulled over immediately. I think it's good to have that kind of societal check, immediately,
sure.
Right before I get on a bad habit of
sure.
taking left turns I'm not supposed to. And I had explained to him, like, "Hey, I just got my driver. It's my first day. Look, I've got the same shirt on."
It was
the
first day you had your license.
Absolutely, yes,
oh,
indeed.
That's the best time.
Yeah. So we'll share some stories like that, plus just those kinds of, I think family moments, whether it's on those road trips or whether it's, working with your uncle or your dad or your brother, working on some cars. It's not going to be super, like, nuts and bolts inside baseball cars. So if you're
just the psychology of it all.
Yeah. And then just a lot of experiences that you can take travel wise.
This sounds great. And this premieres when, Dane?
It's going to be March 18th. So that Saturday. And you mentioned some of the guests. So we'll have like Jeff Gordon. We're going to have Danica Patrick. We'll probably have Mario Andretti. We're going to have a bunch of.
See, that's what I mean. I'm not, that's not my world, but those three people you mentioned, that's the core of racing, of cars. So good for you. You deserve this.
Oh, thank you, Bill.
All right. So that's coming up on March the 18th. And Dane, the name of that show is what again?
On the Road with Dane.
Yeah. That was a good move, good career move.
It wasn't
Throw your name in the title.
Thank you so much. It wasn't my idea, but I agreed with it.
Okay. Why wouldn't you? Let's do this. A quick break. We've got news and then a lot more show coming your way. Stick around. It's Bill and Dane in for Wendy on WGN. Steve, thanks so much. It's Bill Leff along with Dane Neal. Our guest in a half an hour, by the way, will be Dane Neal. That should be interesting for you to sit in two different chairs at one time. I'm anxious to see how you swing that.
Well, it's a lot. I've got to bring in that de-atomizer and the gigawatts and
a
whatever.
A lot goes into it.
Yeah.
A lot of effort goes into it. Wendy is away, potentially on jury duty. She'll know later on today. Okay, here's a lady that I admire, and I'll explain why. Now, it's very sad. She just passed away, 78 years old. Elizabeth Porter Bauman, a resident of Northbrook, who did something, her last deed on the planet was something that I so admire, and I will explain. This is from Time Out Chicago. If you were afforded the chance to have your last words...
Is it typical that Time Out Chicago is the one kind of showcasing the admirable last deeds of an individual?
They are the one place I turn to find that case. Yes. It's not Time. It's not Newsweek. Right. It's none of the major newspapers. It is Time Out Chicago.
Because that's their niche. They go, like, they have admirable found, last moments.
Yes.
Go.
They have found a way to make that a thing, and I appreciate that. If you were afforded the chance to have your last words memorialized in an obituary, what would you say? Now think about that for just a second. You know that it's your last few days or weeks on earth. You have one more chance to get your message out there. You know that there's going to be an obituary printed up in the paper.
You hope. I mean, can you kind of lock and load one of those beforehand? I know some people go through the, and I just think it's morbid and maybe a little bit unlucky to go buy your own burial plot beforehand.
Right.
Or something, you hear, right. Oh, well, Fidel Castro, you need to do something, but he had planned out all aspects of his funeral.
Yeah.
I just don't want to get into it. You know, let you guys figure it out.
Can I tell you what's eerie? When I was a kid, my grandmother died on my mom's side before I was born, and we would go and we would visit her cemetery on her birthday and Mother's Day and holidays and stuff like that. And they had bought, my grandfather bought, you know, adjoining plots. And then at some point, they had the headstone and his name on there with his birth date and then a dash and then just the open date because he had obviously not died yet. But when we would go to visit my grandmother's grave, his grave was also there, too. Even though he was with us, he was looking at his own headstone and the first part of, you know, his existence, his birth date. And I thought to myself, I don't ever want to see that for
right?
myself.
That's like Ebenezer Scrooge bad nightmare right. thing. Did you ever, because you're a funny guy, Bill, and you're always trying to see the lighter side of things, did you ever say, hey, Grandpa, you want me to, you feel, how you feeling today? Want me to chisel in the date today, tomorrow? What do you think?
Well, I still remember when I was a kid, you know, like on Mother's Day and stuff, that we would stop off at a florist and we would get flowers. And when I was 4 or 5, they would bring the flowers, but then they would also bring those little, are they called trowels? They're like very small digging implements okay. that you use, right? So I thought they were digging.
A gardener, yeah, you obviously are.
I thought they were digging my grandmother up. Because you see them kneel down and start to dig, and I'm like, please, don't. Just, what are you doing? But then it was explained to me that's how the flowers are planted
yes.
in there.
Whew. All right.
We dodged a bullet.
Because what would you do with her?
Right. Right. But is it you get what I mean, right? That was always such an eerie thing for me to see.
I couldn't do it. Then that's where we were just kind of mentioning. Is like some people, I don't know if they're just the plan, you know, people out there that are real detail conscious and just planners.
Sure.
Right? They just want to, they can't, or they just don't want to. And you see the commercials. I'm not sure if Henry Winkler's doing that one, but the one about you don't want to saddle your relatives
right.
with your final expenses, quote
True.
Unquote. So I think as long as you're not doing that, just maybe have some bucks. You get me whatever you want.
Right.
If you think I deserve, like, you know, the Concorde, you know, the big expensive
right.
bronze casket or
yep.
or the understated
right.
really cheap one.
I know. I'm with you. Well, for Elizabeth Porter Bauman, she knew that her days were coming to an end. And she wanted her last words, like I said, memorialized. So they asked the question, would you tell your friends and family that you love them in your last words? Yes. Why wouldn't you
nice.
In your obituary? Would you ask forgiveness for those who wronged you in your life? I wouldn't put that in my obituary, but I know that people do. You know, it's your last chance to make amends, to make things right.
You're kind of grudgy. All right,
right,
I get it.
Or would you be like Elizabeth Porter Bauman and take one last shot at the Bears quarterback, Jay Cutler, on
no.
your way out? The answer to that is yes. I love her for this. Bauman passed away in January, and her obituary was published in the Chicago Tribune just this week. The brief write-up described her life, her legacy, and her apparent disdain for Jay Cutler. Let me read it to you now. Elizabeth Porter Bauman, age 78, of Northbrook, Illinois, died peacefully on January the 9th, 2016, surrounded by her children. Betsy, that's Elizabeth Porter Bauman's nickname, Betsy was an elementary school teacher and later a tutor, but her passion and her focus was being a dedicated and involved mother and grandmother. She was a woman of loyalty, integrity, opinion, curiosity, and intelligence. Here's where it gets good.
This just means, like, whatever you're about to hear next, this
right.
is an important
this,
person.
This is right. They set it up beautifully. They let you know that this was a fine, upstanding lady, a woman of the ages, a woman who does everything that you want to do on the planet. People loved her. She had people around her who cared about her. And then it gets good. A lifelong fan of the Cubs, Blackhawks, and Bears, and then in brackets, except Jay Cutler.
Oh. So sports figures, when you think you're not making a difference, not making an impact on people. Wow. You know what? Here's the thing is I don't think there's any other sports person figure prominent here in Chicago that is more equipped and armed to completely disregard that statement and quote unquote not care than Jay Cutler.
Now I know I'm being creative, but here's what I imagined when I read this. Here's what I imagined went on. She wrote this. She wanted this in her obituary. And then somebody in her family said, Mom, there's no reason for this. Obviously, the Bears have frustrated you. I get this. But this is the last thing people will ever see and attribute to you. Do you really want this in your obituary? And she, Elizabeth Porter Bauman, said, oh, yeah, put that in there. I want to take a last shot at Jay Cutler. Please put that in there. I need that in there.
Well, these are your last requests. You have some final requests, and that's it. I would wonder if one of the requests was also that Jay Cutler knows about it.
Well, that's the thing is you're taking such a wild shot because my guess is Jay Cutler would never in a million years be reading the obituaries in the Northbrook paper. It was in the Tribune, so maybe there's a slight chance of
who
it.
Who reads the obituary? Well, I don't know. Maybe you just want to... Let's say you're one of those planners, right? You're like, oh, this looks nice.
Right.
Oh, I like how they put the flowers in there. Maybe you're looking for some suggestions, some to-dos, if you will.
Right.
I don't see Jay doing that. But yeah, maybe that the I think he probably knows now. I wonder if he'll get that question at a
at a press conference.
Right. One less fan, Jay.
Right. You're down to three now. And they're all family members. You have to respect, it says here in Time Out Chicago, you have to respect her dedication. Even in death, Bauman is still dishing out hot takes on how she thinks that Jay Cutler sucks. Although it's kind of unfair that she won't have to answer for her smack talk. It makes the whole thing a little one-sided. Well, you know what this is like? This is the equivalent of whenever a president is on his last few days or weeks and he just starts pardoning people at random. You just say to yourself, well, you know, it's my last shot to do something. This was her last shot to do something about the fact that Jay Cutler brought her misery, and she did. So what's wrong with that? Good for her.
I think that Jay should be just go completely high road here and say he wishes he could have been a better person. I think he's inspired for the other, you know, Mrs. Bauman's of the world, that
right.
He would try to be the best quarterback. So he's not singled out.
Right.
He's probably the only Bear ever singled out that wasn't, you know, actually involved in whatever the obituary.
Right.
Yeah, that's terrible. Do you think maybe she did like a time capsule too? Maybe she's got some other kind of snarky insults, like
yes.
Set aside, open this next year.
Yes. Yes. Would you ever even consider, let's say you knew, sadly, this is a parallel universe question. Let's say you knew the sands of time were running out on you and you only had a couple of weeks or months left. Would you put something like that in your obituary? Would you take one last shot at something you didn't like?
I would. Here's the thing is you have to, I think, commend her for being such a devoted sports fan.
Yes.
That these thoughts are in her mind when she's about to die.
Right to the end.
As much as you enjoy football, I think at some point when you're like at the end there, you got other priorities.
Right.
I would think that it's just like, it's like, do you want to say hi to your nephew? He didn't get a chance, you know, or your son wants to talk to you. Like, nope, got to write this. I'm working on my Jay insult.
Well, you know why? Because you realize as you say to yourself, oh, I'm not going to see another Bears Super Bowl. Who do I blame for this? I'm going to let him know. I'm going to say to Jay Cutler, you're the reason that I'm no longer here and will not see one more Bears championship. Thank you, Jay Cutler. She did it beautifully.
Yes. And I think you have to honor those. I think you honor those statements because even if you're a family member and you think, you know, Mom, let it go.
Right. Nope.
You just be like, well,
nope.
That was what she was.
One last chance.
And I wonder how long this goes now, too, because you've got to think of the power of positive thinking. And Bill, I know that we've talked about it during other shows is how if you're positive and you want to live, right, you can extend
live.
Your life. If you feel that maybe the Bears prospects for a Super Bowl are so bleak
right.
that you don't want to go on
might
living
as well leave.
So much so that it's incorporated into your. Into your obituary, maybe like Jay Cutler's performance
yeah.
shortened their mom's life. So I'm wondering if this whole animosity carries on to the other family.
I wonder. That's a good question. All right. More talk in just a little bit. If you want to jump in, you know how to reach us. It's 312-981-7200. That's the call line and the text line. It's Bill and Dane Nealon for Wendy Snyder on WGN. It's Bill Leff, and it's Dane Neal. Dane is sitting in for Wendy, who is fine. Don't worry. Anytime one of us misses the show, people expect the worst.
She's in the pre-juror stage.
Right, right. She may be on jury duty. She's being interviewed today, so don't you worry. Somebody texted in We got a lot of texts, many of them in support for this lady, Elizabeth Porter Bauman of Northbrook, who passed away last month in January. And she died on January the 9th. And in her obituary, if you're just joining us, they talk a little bit about Elizabeth's life. She was an elementary school teacher. She became a tutor, had a lot of passions, a lot of love for her family, a loving mother, a loving grandmother. And then the last line in the obituary, again, reads, a lifelong fan of the Cubs, Blackhawks, and Bears, and then in brackets, except Jay Cutler.
Wow.
Go on.
That's the kind of thing that, you know, and I said it before the break that Jay is probably the one, you know, best equipped to completely disregard that. But if it was me, that would really get to me, right? It would be like, I know what I did.
You meant so much to somebody that they would bother to mention that in their last gasp, right?
Right. That is a powerful moment. And you know what you did or didn't do on the field. And usually, you know, 70,000 people go home and they get up on Monday and go to work. You know, they're as okay as they can be with it. But I think that would be, I'd almost, you know, because I don't know. Good thing we're not in Haiti, right? Because you'd think a Jay Cutler voodoo doll would be somewhere.
Right. Years ago, you remember the plane incident with Sully Sullenberger?
No, that was
this?
With the Lindbergh baby?
Yeah, the Lindbergh baby and Sully Sullenberger were on an airplane, and yes. Amelia Earhart was on the plane, and Jim Croce. It was
bird
crazy.
Strike.
Yeah. All right. So I was telling how I was on another radio station at the time, and they were telling how people on the plane were getting out their cell phones and calling their loved ones and just saying how much they loved them because they didn't think that they were going to survive. And I said, and I was kidding when I said this.
How do you do that?
I said, I would do the opposite. I would call somebody that I hated and say, I'll be waiting for you in hell. Enjoy yourself and hang up. Oh, right. And I was kidding. And all these people called up and said, I like your idea. I'm going to do, if I'm ever in a situation like that where I think this is the end for me, that's what I'm going to do. But I was kidding.
People
I wasn't
out
really
there
gonna
are
do
thinking
that.
Like, how could you use your last phone call like that? Well, I'm going to offer up a compromise, Bill, and I think it's not either or, it's and. You make two calls,
right?
You make one.
Pick the person you love the most.
Get everybody you love out of the way.
Pick the person you hate the most,
and then you really, you know, make it count.
Right. All right. Here's a text from 262. How do you know that she wrote that ahead of time? Maybe her kids hated Jay Cutler, and they took that opportunity to slam the guy. Possible. It's entirely possible, but I think if you're the kids of this woman, of Elizabeth Porter Bauman's, you are respecting that woman the best way possible by letting her feelings be known that she was not a fan of Jay Cutler.
I think I have never been or had to be the person writing the obituary for anyone yet, but I would feel that, you know, this is like the final written thing about someone that was important to you. I don't know that I would, unless you've got just a jokester,
right?
In the family that was just like, except Jake, that thought that was funny, and then maybe thought their mom would appreciate the humor,
right?
And then just went with it,
right?
Maybe that's what happened.
Could be.
Do we know?
Well, you know how from time to time there will be a story about somebody that will, in their obituary, mention some family member that they have some disdain for, that they just. You know, it's cousin Dorothy, and I hope she's not at the funeral, because even though I'm dead, that's the last thing I want to see is her ugly face at my funeral. It's always like that little dig at the end there.
I thought it was a little more cloak and dagger with it, where it's like, you know, beloved son of and devoted this and that. Maybe it'd be like intolerable, right. Unfortunate relative of.
Right. Indifferent toward, right. That kind of thing. I can't read that one. Oh, here's a good one. 847 says, on the other hand, on the other side of the coin, how many Cubs fans do you think will thank the team for their World Series win in their obituary? I imagine that's happened. And remember when the Cubs were in it, that we were getting flooded with stories from people that were bringing radios to cemeteries and sitting down with a father or a grandfather that didn't get to see the Cubs in the World Series and sharing that last moment or a few moments of the Cubs in the World Series with their loved ones. So there is a flip side to that.
I think that would make the sensitive alter ego of a hypothetical Jay Cutler feel even worse. Right?
I would imagine.
Like, see how it is when the sports goes right?
Right. Take that, Jay Cutler. All right. So, again, we pay tribute to you, Elizabeth Porter Bauman, 78 of Northbrook, Illinois, died just a few short weeks ago and said in the obituary that despite her long, wonderful life, she was not a fan of yours, Jay Cutler. So take that, We'll take a quick break, and then more show coming your way. We've got news coming up in just a little bit. And then a food guest from you.
Well, it's not necessarily a food guest. Sometimes we'll divert a little bit from it. Of course, we'll talk a little bit about the food that might be at the Grammys. But we're going to have Todd Delaney in. He is a local
Grammy nominee,
a gospel Grammy nominee. And this is someone who's shown extreme commitment to his craft, and it's paying off in big ways, hopefully with an award down the road.
Excellent. Stick around. More show ahead. Bill and Dana for Wendy on WGN. It's Bill F. and Dane Neal, and that beautiful voice you're hearing right now is mine. No, it's not. What am I saying? That belongs to Todd Delaney.
I can't sing like that.
There's no way I could sing that good. Todd Delaney is in the studio with us, Grammy-nominated gospel singer who had a number one. Now, this to me is unbelievable. I hope you're as impressed by this as I am. It's your first album, and it goes to number one on the Billboard charts immediately.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm pretty stunned, and I'm stunned by everything, all of it. You know what I mean? Being here with you guys, the whole thing, the whole shebang is like Grammys, all of that. I mean, it's all new to me and everybody in my house.
I'm so proud of you.
You sound like my dad right now.
That doesn't happen. Yeah. That just doesn't happen. Also in studio with us is Sarah Jansen. Sarah's the executive director for the Chicago chapter of the Grammys, and the Grammy Awards are not this weekend, but the weekend after, correct, Sarah?
Correct. February 12th.
Yeah. Why does Chicago have a chapter?
Well, there's actually 12 chapters around the country. I'm an executive director based here in Chicago, but I cover the entire Midwest, which means that I assist musicians and music professionals and music communities all across the Midwest, folks like Todd, in every genre of music, every tiny little corner of the Midwest.
Yeah.
And there's 11 other folks that do the same thing I do in their own networks around the country.
Well, Sarah, and it's the kind of thing, too, if you're in the music business, if you love music events, music awards, you keep track of all that stuff, the Grammys are, I mean, it is the top, right? It's the top of the mountain. It's the pinnacle, and having you, you've worked with, you know, all sorts of great events like Lollapalooza, Coachella, Stagecoach, Rothbury. So you've worked with all of these events that have highlighted great artists. Like, how cool is it, right, to be a part of what is kind of the top award in music?
Well, I have to say, it's not only the top award, but why I'm so proud to work for the Academy and the Grammy Awards is it's the only peer-recognized award in the music industry, which means it's not based on Billboard charts. While I'm very impressed by your charts, Todd, it's amazing. It's not based on Billboard charts. It's not based on album sales. It's not based on fans. It's based on your peers, fellow musicians and music professionals who vote on the music that comes out in that Grammy season, and those are the winners.
I've heard so many people in the music business say, the American Music Awards are great, and the Billboard Awards are great, and the MTV Awards are great, but the Grammy is the pinnacle. If you have a Grammy or two, that's it. You've made it. Yeah. You're a star. So that means a lot.
It's
it
your
really
peers
does.
Telling you you're the best. Yeah. I mean, who better to judge on what is the best music that comes out than the other people who are creating music in that same time?
Right. You know, and Bill, I know you're thinking, and typically we'll do food segments. I'll bring in, you know, stars of the food world or great food stories. But Todd's music is literally food for the soul, right? Mm. I mean, so there you have that. Mm-hmm. And what a humble guy, too. So it's one of those things, couldn't happen to a nicer guy. You know, we have to drag the accolades out of him. Oh, what my album? Do you have an album? Yeah, and it's number one. Okay, that's great. Here's the thing, though, too, is, you know, people strive for success in different careers, whatever talents that, you know, God blesses you with. And the interesting story in one of them was is that you started out as an athlete playing, and you were actually in the New York Mets organization. We decided to give up that crazy dream for entirely different crazy dream, to be a great singer. Like, was that, because you could do both. When I was excited, I'm thinking like, well, he could kind of be the singing baseball player, but no, you decided to focus.
Yeah, that was the hardest decision I ever had to make in my life. I mean, I had my family. They all told me flat out, you're crazy.
See, that's exactly. Dude. If I was your, you said Bill was like your dad. Yeah. If I was like your brother or your, you know, cousin, I would have said you're crazy.
See, and I had to tell you, just, you know, just watch. And then I'm looking like a fool for years and years because nothing happened. No musical success, no success. And I'm like, maybe they were right.
How far up did you get with the Mets? What level were you playing?
I was playing long season A-ball, and then I did a couple of big league spring trainings.
You did?
And so, I had a great second year, you know, where I hit around 319. You know,
that's pretty good.
Really good hands defensively. I was a defensive player and fast, you know, I could run.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just felt like I was like, man, this isn't my purpose. I'm having fun here, but I got another purpose.
Right.
And then one time, it was a crazy thing. One time, one Sunday, me and a couple of players, we went to church. And they said, man, Todd, you should sing. You should tell the pastor that you sing. And we're just acting crazy.
Yeah.
So I just got up there and I sang. We got in the car. They're all like, you're doing the wrong thing.
Really?
You need to be singing.
Yeah. That's impressive. That's so impressive. So as you're playing baseball, were you realizing, even though this is fun, this isn't my life.
My purpose.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? Like it's one thing just to have passion, and that's what I did when I played baseball, passionate about playing baseball, and it was fun.
Yeah.
I mean, who doesn't want to be a professional baseball
player?
All women flocked, you know, all of that.
Yeah.
The money, they make all the money, everything. But I'm like, you
I thought
know.
It would be to, like, have great statistics and on-base percentage.
Right.
But, of course, the ladies. Yeah.
That's the thing, right?
But look at the difference between those two lifestyles,
yeah.
Between the lifestyle of a pro athlete, a baseball player, and the lifestyle of a gospel singer. Slightly different.
Slightly different. I mean, yeah. But now I'm realizing even more that I'm serving in a great time right now. Like, mm-hmm. Man, the world is kind of chaotic. Mm-hmm. And so for me to be bringing a message of hope and love, it's fun for me right now. I'm having a good time doing it.
Even when you were playing baseball at a high level and had, you know, Major League Baseball prospects as far as your future, mm-hmm. And you knew you could sing, like, at what age did you know you could sing? And then at what age did you focus? Because there's a lot of singers out there, and there's a lot on the Grammys. At what age did you focus on gospel?
So my whole house, they sang gospel music my whole life. You know, my brother, my father, they could all sing. And so I guess listening to it, I listened to it without even knowing that I was picking it up.
Right.
I was becoming knowledgeable of it. And then my brother would always say, when his friends, my little brother can sing. And I would always be like, no, I'm not into that. The girls don't like it. But then as I got older, I was like, they like this. So I started, that's it. You know, I started to sing.
Following the girl.
Well, I mean, I'm married now. But that was my thing. When I was young, I'm like, hey, you know, this is all right. This is kind of cool. When you're young, they want the guy that's tough, that can play ball. And that's what I want to do.
Sure.
So, but I knew in the back of my mind, I said, maybe I sing a little bit, but I didn't know if I could do it on a major stage like now.
The only other New York Met that comes to mind, Mookie Wilson's Hip Hop Dance Party.
He was my coach my first year.
Was he Mookie Wilson?
He was my head coach. Yeah.
Love Mookie Wilson.
Mookie Wilson loved to sing, man.
And we're going to get to some of the things, especially the hit album, the Grammys and all that kind of stuff. But as you were singing, you know, with other players or with other people that just have maybe more notoriety than you did at the time, did Mookie Wilson try to say, like, let's start a group?
No. But you know what? Mookie's a guy. He's a guy of few words. But we found that out about him, that Mookie sings and he likes to sing gospel music. Yeah, so like he was pushing me. He was like, man, you should do some singing. But I don't think he knew how serious I would take it.
So he never said, here's a band idea, Mookie and the Cookies. Are you in?
No, I don't know if I would have been in. Mookie's got it, man.
What can we expect this year from the Grammys? Is there something that is like the overwhelming force in music that the Grammys will be realizing or recognizing in a couple of weeks at the awards?
Well, I think the thing the Grammys do differently than a lot of the other award show is that we try and put people together as opposed to letting folks do the music that you hear on the radio every day. We do some really incredible collaborations on the show, so you can definitely expect some really interesting and unique collaborations.
That's always fun to see, because more times than not, you guys will pair up a classic from days gone by with a young upcoming performer. And it really does. It shows the lineage right there on the stage together. I love seeing that.
Totally. And I love to see that, too. So I'm 13 years in. I'm still excited about all the performances on the award show.
Good. Have they done the Tony Bennett Eminem collaboration yet?
Not yet. Maybe this year. Maybe next year.
Please.
Maybe. I don't know. There's still a week for some new performers to come out. Who knows?
Good. That'll be fun. All right. Let's take a quick break. And then more ahead. Dane Neal sitting in for Wendy. And our guests are Sarah Jensen and Todd Delaney. Stick around, Bill and Wendy and Dane, WGN.
Hallelujah, you have won the victory. Lift up your voice and say now, you have won it all for me.
It's Bill Leff and Dane Neal sitting in for Wendy Snyder. A couple guests in the studio. That voice you hear, Todd Delaney, is the voice of an angel, I tell you. Nominated for a Grammy Award. He'll find out in a little over a week, almost 2 weeks away from the Grammy Awards. And then Sarah Jansen also joins us, the executive director for the Chicago chapter of the Grammys.
The voice of an angel, also the voice of one of the potentially best bunters ever in the Mets system. So, Todd, here's the thing, is you are in a career that you... As far as the baseball side, you would have loved to be in. You wanted to be in from a kid and met some of your idols. We mentioned them off the air. We're talking like Daryl Strawberry, Brett Butler. These were your coaches, right? These were guys that maybe you grew up knowing about how great they were. And there they were, your contemporaries, you know, at that point. Sarah mentioned a little bit about collaborations, how the Grammy kind of puts people together from different kind of walks of life or career. And so now, as you are excited to go to your first Grammys, and there's never going to be Another first. Like, you could have, like, you know, maybe greater honors, or maybe who knows, but so exciting. Is there some of those people that you have either known, loved, idolized, respected, that you're super excited to see in a couple weeks?
I love Rascal Flatts.
I just
from every side of music, I really listen to it all. Joe from the R&B side. Of course, Beyonce. Everybody wants to see her in person, just so you can just see if the beauty
if it's as magical as you hope. Are you up against any are there anybody who's a friend that you're up against? Do you know the other nominees?
Yes, Kirk Franklin, also Tamela Mann.
You know these people.
I know these people.
Is that odd that one of you could potentially win and then the other's not? That must be a little strange.
Well, it's an honor to be nominated, Bill.
Sure,
well,
it is.
Kirk Franklin's a legend.
Yeah, right.
And so, I mean, for me, growing up watching and listening to his music my whole life,
yeah,
to be in the same category with him anyway, I mean, I'm just like, I mean, honestly, you think, like, how could I even win?
Right.
This guy's a legend. So it's just an honor to be
named
in the same breath, you know, with him.
Well, obviously, you're getting to that point where you are being recognized for what you do at the highest level. But I love the whole indecision part of it. So you decided to leave baseball and you decided to pursue a career in gospel music. And we know it all worked out all right. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure the parents and anybody who may have doubted you or at least doubted the idea is excited for the success. But a number one album with a worshiper's heart. Like, how did that happen? Did it just go right away? Or like, how did you get to that point where you're making good music people could listen to?
You know, I believe that when I was recording the record, that I was like, okay, this is good. How good, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, if it'll actually be a number one album in the world and people all over the world are listening to it. I mean, I think I have a bigger following outside of the U.S. than even in the U.S. So, I mean, so for the whole entire world to jump, I didn't know that. I was just like, man, this is good stuff. I hope they feel the same way.
So where in the world is it surprising you? I mean, I get it. In the United States, it would make sense. But around the globe, where are they really loving you that you go, wow, what am I doing?
Uganda.
In Uganda.
Africa. And then even just the UK.
Yeah.
Uganda probably is the biggest. I get emails and Facebooks from them all day, every day. And so it's just crazy. And then I did an interview in the UK yesterday, and they said, do you know that everybody listens to your music here in the UK? And I said, no, I didn't.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. So,
Have you done a tour there yet?
Never.
You've never been there?
Never even been.
But you're headed to Uganda, right?
Headed to Uganda in February 15th.
You are?
Yeah, so that's a couple of weeks away, so I'll finally get a chance. Now, they heard that I was coming there, and they've been nonstop. We're waiting. We're waiting on you.
You mentioned the family setting, music being a big part of the home life. Of course, in the church setting, it obviously is. People have listened, whether it's around the world or whatever, they're listening to recordings, right? They're listening to you on the radio, but not you live and in person. So talk a little bit about, and that's, you know, from a performer side, they say that's the greatest thrill. They get the most because there's that give and take from the crowd. As an athlete, you hear those same things. So talk about performing live and what that's like.
Yeah, for me, it's the place where I guess I'm the happiest is live on stage in front of people. I tell my wife that all the time. She's like, what about me? I was like, yeah, that's great too.
Come on stage.
But on stage in front of people, and really, like you said, back and forth. It's a back and forth exchange. You can feel when they are like, okay, let's move to a different spot in the concert. You know what I mean? You can feel that. They'll let you know if you're feeding off of them. You can feel that they're like, oh, I love this song. Oh my God, I want to sing this song. And you let them take it. Or if they're like, I love this song, but it's not my favorite. Okay, we'll just sing it, and then we'll move to the next one. And then they're like, oh, that's my favorite. You can feel all of that.
Sure.
And it just feels like it's just all night long. And then it's a crazy part of the concert where sometimes you'll just hit a river, a flow. I call it a river.
Yeah.
A flow where it's just like, I'm in the zone.
You can do no wrong.
Yeah, I'm in the zone.
Right.
No matter what song we sing tonight,
It's going to work.
Yeah, it's going to work.
Isn't that a great feeling?
It is a mighty feeling.
Yeah. Yeah. Sarah, talk about what we were just saying about those matchups where sometimes you'll get nominations where it's a tried and true favorite who's been around for decades going up against a rookie, somebody who's new to the scene. That's got to tear at a voter's mind. It's like, who do I go with? The young punk who's just out of nowhere and doing so well, or somebody who I've enjoyed forever?
Well, thank goodness you and I aren't the voters, right?
It would be trouble.
And that's what makes the Grammy Awards process so different, is the people that are voting on these categories aren't fans. They're actually people who are creating music themselves. And they have such a true, deep understanding of what type of talent that it takes to create that music, that it's not about name recognition. It's truly about the music. And it's about that product, that creation that came out from each one of these individuals, and which one is the best that year.
You're there the night of the broadcast, right?
Correct.
What's it like backstage with all these giants of the business, all these legends just mingling? Is it exciting to see?
Of course it's exciting to see, but I think the most exciting things that I see are when folks like Todd and Kurt meet.
Yeah.
For the first time. Yeah. I saw it last year with Kurt and Jonathan McReynolds, who's another gospel artist here from Chicago. And Kurt actually brought all the other nominees up on stage with him after he won and said, these are the guys
you
need to know. Yeah. And it's really, it's like a community. It's folks coming together. I mean, the music industry is different because you aren't all together. It's not like a baseball team where you're all together all the time. Musicians are never together.
Yeah.
They're always off on their own touring. So these are the few times they get to come together and really like hang out and meet each other and geek out.
Yeah, and I know that you're the executive director of the Chicago chapter. You mentioned there's 11 total chapters for the Grammys. So explain kind of how it works, you know, where you would be a part of that local chapter and how it's part of this kind of bigger framework that is all one thing as far as the Grammys. Like, how could people get involved if they wanted to?
Sure, of course. Well, we're obviously the name of the organization, the umbrella organization, is the National Academy of Recording Arts and Sciences, or NARIS. Mm-hmm. I shorten it to the Recording Academy because that's like a mouthful. We're most well known for our public face, which is the Grammy Awards, that award that we give out once a year. To be able to have the Grammy process exist, we are a membership-based organization, and our members are these musicians and music professionals who vote.
Yeah.
You need to be credited. You need to go through a somewhat extensive process to be credited, to be able to vote on the awards process. And that's actually how the Grammy Award totals and votes come out, is from those individuals across the country. Myself here and my counterparts around the country, our job is really to educate and to spread knowledge to the music communities and reach out to all of these next generation folks to make sure they're aware of getting involved in the awards process, submitting their music that they're creating, and then also voting on it.
And you could have the majority of the votes, but then the Electoral College could change the outcome. Is that correct? Yeah,
the popular vote you get, and then I'm not sure. Well, see, Todd, here it is. And we went in kind of the nuts and bolts of how it all works. But what it is, I think this is, it's kind of just a recognition. It's a validation of the kind of things that you've been done. And you realize that once you got that nomination, regardless of what happens, and we know the future is bright, but forever you will be introduced as
Grammy nominee,
right? Your whole identity, forever. Your name has changed. It's one of those rare honors that really does change the way you're introduced forever.
Yeah. No, it puts the stamp on music and what I do in the music world for the rest of my life.
Beautiful.
And I realized that, like, my wife and I, we're like, do you realize that you're a Grammy-nominated artist?
So I know
you don't say, I'm not taking out the garbage. I just got nominated for a Grammy.
I've tried it. That doesn't work.
Hey, I'm not doing that.
You leave the nomination paper like on the table. Hey, did you have
them? Yeah.
So we know that everybody in Uganda and everybody in England knows this already. But for those people here in America that want to keep up with you, catch up with you, get caught up with you, and follow all your adventures, where can they go? Social media-wise and all that?
Absolutely. The best place is ToddDelaneyLand.com. All right? If they go there, it'll take you all over the place. Instagram, Facebook.
Good.
It's all at one spot for me. So ToddDelaneyLand.com.
Good luck.
Thank you, best of luck.
I would love to see you walk away with a statue. Sarah, the Grammy Awards will be seen on which night again?
Sunday, February 12th.
A week from
Sunday.
Music's biggest night. We'll all be watching. Good luck to you, Todd Delaney, and of course on your tour of Uganda with Mookie Wilson at the Idi Amin Theater. Go see them perform
live. The cookies
live.
They'll be opening up.
Mookie and the cookies will be opening. It's going to be a great show. Thanks, guys. Appreciate you being here.
Good luck.
Thank you, quick break, then some news. It's Bill and Dana for Wendy on WGN. All right, it's hard for me to believe, I can't speak for you, Dane, but it's nearly impossible for me to believe that this, right now, is the 25th anniversary of the phenomena that is Wayne's World. Can you imagine that it's been 25 years since that has started?
I think led by probably the success of the soundtrack. When we left from a Grammy-nominated gospel singer to that song,
right,
which is so iconic as well, right, it's probably led to the hit.
The anthem of our generation, many people have called it. To celebrate the 25th anniversary of Wayne's World, Marissa Amoni is the publisher and editor and writer over at Downtown Aurora Magazine, also event organizer and local promoter. And Jennifer Rausch is a Celebration co-founder and owner of If These Walls Could Talk. That's an art gallery and framing shop in Downtown Aurora, here to celebrate the 25th anniversary of Wayne's World. Ladies, welcome aboard.
Thank you.
Party on.
Yeah. It's party on is right.
Party on.
How can it be 25 years? What happened? How did that happen so fast?
We must have been babies is what I'm thinking.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think
I was a sophomore in high school, West High, having a good time wearing probably this very same flannel that I'm wearing right now.
Right.
I was barely legal and big hair and spandex.
Oh, way back then.
It was 1992.
It was. It's unfathomable, but it was. It was that long ago.
And it was a big movie. And, you know, you talk about so many movies being filmed out in Los Angeles or on, you know, far off exotic locations. Aurora, Illinois is not necessarily one of the most exotic locations, at least not in the travel brochures.
Well, that depends how you think of it. We do have the longest bar at the web.
Oh,
you do?
So,
see?
Yep.
So I should check with the Visitor Bureau.
Something, Dane.
Right. No, I'm just saying. But how cool is it to have a movie that is still to this day holding up, considered cool, and so identified with Aurora?
It's really cool, to tell you the truth. For the last 25 years, I grew up in Aurora, so I have that lovely notoriety for sure. But when people say, where are you from, and you say Aurora, they immediately say Wayne's World.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Right off.
So this is something that's been fun for us, and we've embraced for 25 years. And now, thanks to Jen, she who came up with the idea to celebrate the 25th anniversary, I had no idea. She approached me one day and said, hey, I have this awesome idea. Wayne's World is turning 25. Let's celebrate. And
you have to do something, right?
You have to do something. Remind me of this. Was any of it, was some of it, how much was filmed? Did they use Aurora at all?
They used a couple stock footage.
They did.
Background checks, but most of it was done in California.
A couple months ago, my friend Rusty is a stand-up comic. He lives in Australia, and he was here in Chicago. It was his second or third time in Chicago, and the first thing he and his friends did was they headed out there because they wanted to see Stan Makita Donuts, which he then found out was just strictly a set. It did not actually exist.
Well, they should come now because we are doing a lot of fun window displays. We have a Stan Makita's Donuts window display.
Do you really?
We have the Aurora Historical Society is putting on a donut taste off and inviting local bakeries to participate. So we are hamming it up for sure.
We have the basement scene
for the next
set
six
up.
Months.
Do you?
Yeah.
I think there's some landmarks there. I'm not exactly positive, but I think isn't the Pacer like somewhere like the
it
car?
Is.
I think I was emceeing a Hollywood Casino event, and I think the Pacer is there, so you can.
Jen's going to tell you about the Pacer.
It's the. I have the official blurb here. It's the Wayne's World 1977 Blue Pacer, otherwise known as the Mirthmobile. It is a licensed reproduction acquired from Paramount Studios for display purposes. It is in our museum.
Yeah.
It's not in the casino, so you don't have to be 21. You can
see
it.
Good.
We also actually have the original guitar from the movie.
Oh, you do?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. The one that
that's the one Tia Carrera was playing.
Oh, yes. Very nice. Very, very nice. Did you talk to any of the stars to see if they'd be able to come down for the celebration?
Tia is coming out this Friday.
Yeah.
Nice.
For the movie.
I don't know if you've obviously spoken to her. Very nice lady. I've interviewed her. She's great.
I haven't spoken to her. Marissa has.
Yeah.
And we also heard that the director is coming in for the 4th of July. So Penelope Spears will be coming in.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've touched base with Penelope. She approached us to come out for the 4th of July. We're doing a huge headbanging event where it'll already be the 4th of July, and so people will already be there for the fireworks. So we're inviting everyone to headbang along to Bohemian Rhapsody.
That's beautiful. All right.
Right before the fireworks.
Well,
she hopes to join us for that.
You mentioned Tia Carrera coming out, and you know, whenever you're dealing with Hollywood stars, there's usually a long rider of things that they, and I don't want to say demand, but require for their appearances. Like when she comes in, do you have to play the theme music and all that stuff every time she shows up?
Well, Jen's talked to White Castle, Pizza Hut.
Oh, good.
And she has, I think, some red vine licorice.
We have the red vine laces because, you know, the Mirthmobile had the dispenser in the car for them to have their licorice dispensers.
All right, explain this to me. For a long time, Saturday Night Live had this thing where if they had a scene that kind of took off, they made it into a movie. And sometimes it was good, the Blues Brothers, and sometimes it wasn't, Night at the Roxbury.
Right.
Yeah.
Same one. What was it, do you think, about Wayne's World where they would take this scene, this 4 or 5 minute scene on Saturday Night Live, and they made it into a 90 or 100 minute movie, and it was really funny?
I just think it was really period. It appealed to that set of people. We were comfortable. We were in our rock t-shirts, jeans with holes, you know, and just hanging out. And it was so super casual, nothing serious.
Yeah.
Nothing serious. You need to escape.
Do you think also anyone who went to high school knew Wayne and Garth? Those two kids existed in every high school, not just in Illinois, but throughout the country. Those guys were real people to us.
Everybody, yes. Yeah. I think everybody has a Wayne and Garth in their life somewhere.
Absolutely. Yep. They're very relatable and a lot of fun. And they're, you know, they're heroes in the movie. It's fun.
Yep.
You got to have a villain, too, with a fully functional Babe Lair.
And Rob Lowe is so good.
You know what? He's one of the most underrated actors ever. Because you really, there's so many things that you see Rob Lowe and you go, oh, Rob Lowe again. Oh, wait a minute. He's really good. He was great in Wayne's World.
Oh, he's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. All right. So how did this go from the, wouldn't it be fun if we did this stage to the actual, we're doing this stage? What happened in the middle there?
Not really sure. It started out as a grassroots movement for, you know, local businesses to just have fun, play with it. And then something happened and it went viral and it went everywhere. People were calling. We actually got a phone call or an email 2 weeks ago from the AMC Pacer Car Club of Denver, Colorado. And they want to wheel out all their Mirthmobiles to Aurora, Illinois during one of our celebrations. Wow. And we're like, okay, sure.
Wow.
Come on.
Wow. That's impressive.
See, as you start something like this, and you guys are fans of it and obviously have that connection in the community, but you really, at some point, you really did start to realize that this movie had a huge impact on people all over the place.
All over. We didn't realize. We thought, quirky, Aurora, we'll embrace it. But then next thing you know, it's like, I've got artists from Chicago wanting to do our poster contest for this Friday. I'm like, bring it. Come on. You know, the more the merrier. World, one party.
Here's what's funny. We just did, we had similar people on for Ferris Bueller's anniversary a few months ago. And it's really strange. There's something about the Midwest that we just embrace that stuff. Same thing with Christmas Story in Indiana. You know, the people, it's like a pilgrimage to go to that town where
Groundhog
they did Christmas
Day.
Story. Groundhog Day is another one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know
we
that
were
that happened.
We were just talking about that on the way to Chicago from Aurora. And yeah, we're just lucky that ours is pretty cool.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
we get the notoriety here of having a cool movie.
Is there any chance of anything for sale? Have you guys been able to pick up? I know they did years ago. There were figures of Wayne and Garth. Are you able to sell any of that anywhere in town? Is there anything available now that they're still making?
Well, we're not selling anything. We're just doing it, you know, for the love of it.
Yeah.
Just to really, you know, give a nod to Wayne's World and the 25th anniversary. And really, as we do a lot of SEP, we are just so excited that the community is involved, and we love Aurora.
Yeah.
You know, they love Aurora. Businesses are coming on board. Like Jen said, Jen owns a business in downtown Aurora, and businesses are putting up displays in their windows and hosting events, and it's just snowballed, and it's from Jen's idea, and it's just so cool.
So it's been like almost 100% positive. I'm sure there may have been an occasional, you know, kind of detractor, right? Even with the Cubs, you know, so much positivity, there's always somebody who's upset that someone's going to the bathroom on their lawn, right? And those people are in the minority, right? But did you have to like push it at all? Was there anybody that you had to kind of work through that was maybe saying like, hey, that we're not proud of this, you know, it was a goofy movie?
No, in actuality, everyone has been so excited about it. And the Beacon, our local paper, picked up the first story, and it kind of went national from there. And everybody has been using hashtag Party on Aurora and just really embracing it and having a fun time. And I haven't heard one negative comment.
Friends of the Park didn't try to close you down for any reason?
No?
Good. You lucked out.
No, and we talked Paramount Pictures knows about it. And
Oh, now that can be tricky because sometimes movie companies, if they're not getting a cut, they don't want any part. They don't want that happening.
What kind of letter is that, Bill? Cease and desist?
What is this?
We're hoping that they're very excited about it, and
they should be because I mean, it's beloved by fans. There's no loser in this.
I think so. And we're not selling merchandise. We're not making a profit. And again, it's a community thing, and we're proud of Aurora.
Yep.
And we're just excited. We're not worthy.
The perfect.
I beg to differ.
You are quite worthy. It all starts this Friday, mm-hmm. February the 3rd, and then it runs into the summer, right?
It
goes all the way through the 4th of July? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there's some things you can't do in the wintertime, and we want to embrace the whole warmth and have people come out when they can.
Oh, yeah. We're having the U.S. Air Guitar Qualifier at Two Brothers Roundhouse in May.
So the greatest air guitarists
of all
time from around the world will be there.
Yes, yes.
So we want to see both of you
join
us.
In.
Excellent. So practice your air guitar.
All right.
I'm more of an air drummer.
We have look-alike contests. We have a great business in Aurora, Luigi's Pizza. That's been around forever, and they're renaming their arcade Noah's Arcade, and he's dressing up like Noah Vanderhoff, and it's just, again, it's amazing.
Good.
This is why we love our city, because everyone's embracing it and just having a ball with it.
It sounds like so much fun. It's Wayne's World's 25th anniversary going on in Aurora. Marissa and Jennifer, if people want more information, the website they want to go to is downtownaurorin.com. Is that right?
They can go there. That's my magazine. But I prefer that they go to auroradowntown.org.
Okay.
So auroradowntown.org. And they can find out an entire schedule of the 6 months of events. There's also a nice calendar, so they can click on different events and find out. And there's all of the venues that are participating in First Fridays this Friday, which is our monthly art crawl. So there's art, music, Wayne's World activities. So they can find all the information there.
Sounds like fun. Thank you both so much.
Thank you. We have the basement scene set up so people can come sit on Wayne's couch.
And take pictures hoping. Yeah.
No pictures, Bill.
No pictures, please. We demand no pictures. Marissa, Jennifer, thank you. I hope this is a huge success for you. It's Wayne's World's 25th anniversary. Go see it for yourselves. We'll take a quick break, then more show. It's Bill and Dane in for Wendy on WGN. It's Bill F. and it's Dane Neal. Dane is sitting in for Wendy. If you're just joining us, Wendy is on potential jury duty. She's being interviewed, and we'll find out the outcome of that tomorrow. How interesting is it? We were just talking to the organizers of the Wayne's World 25th anniversary event. So I had mentioned that sometimes they'll make movies out of the skits on Saturday Night Live, and they can be very, very entertaining, or sometimes not. And then out of all the movies that have ever been made out of skits on Saturday Night Live, the go-to one for both you and me was Night at the Roxbury.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Here you had, okay. So with Night at the Roxbury and with the other ones, you have some potential storylines other than just a couple goofy catchphrases and a head bob.
Right.
I don't know who was the script writer that said, sure, I could do that.
Well, they made The Ladies' Man into a movie.
Oh, yeah.
They made It's Pat into a movie.
Okay.
There's been a couple over the years where.
I didn't see the team photo of failure there, but yeah, I guess you're, and it's worth a shot because you never really know what's going to catch on. But then in some of those classes, those kind of combinations for Saturday Night Live, you have world-class funny people.
Sure.
And you know that if they're going to get together and they're going to throw themselves into it, it's going to be good. So you had Mike Myers.
Will Ferrell's one of the funniest guys ever. I don't know how you can be funnier than Will Ferrell, but in Night at the Roxbury, with all forgiveness to the people who consider that to be our generation Citizen Kane.
And there are some.
Did
they make an action figure for those guys?
Yeah, they did.
Push the button, the head bobs.
Yeah, it goes back and forth. Yeah, they absolutely did. And then I mentioned as an example of one that's a good one, Blues Brothers, but I've said this on the show before, and this is like one of the most un-American, un-Chicago things you can ever say, because people get furious when I say this. I was not a fan of I liked when they did the Blues Brothers skit on the show. I thought it was always fun. I liked the music. The movie did nothing for me, and I've seen it three times thinking maybe I wasn't in the mood the first time or the second time. It just does. For some reason, the Blues Brothers for me just doesn't work. I don't know why.
And it's one of the. I think you got to get kind of in depth with the characters and really enjoy some of just the crazy kind of fly by the seat of your pants banter that's obviously happened, or just the very disorganized filmmaking.
When I see a clip of it, whenever I see it, for a minute or a minute and a half, I like it. And I go, oh, that's very funny. But to sit through the movie, it was just, it was, it's a long day for me to sit through Blues Brothers.
Maybe part of the affection that is attached to the Blues Brothers is because maybe it's just so much more of a cool concept idea,
right?
These two rebels,
right,
crazy guys in suits, right, you know, taking on Chicago and the authorities and biker gangs and everything, then maybe it is an actual movie. And the music, like you said, and then you've just got, you know, you've got John Belushi and all the things that he was and never became,
right,
that are kind of built into the that aura plays of into the movie
it. Yep. Although the first two times I saw it, John was still alive, and I couldn't wait to see it when it was in theaters. I'm like, this is going to be the best. And then it just, I don't know, it fell flat. But when you say it to most people, they go, how can you not love the Blues Brothers? What's wrong with you?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I guess I'm not sure. Maybe
it's possible.
Yeah, maybe there's something wrong.
We need to take a quick break. We'll check in with Steve and find out what's coming up on the Wintrust business launch. And Kevin, do we have a firehouse to give away? Let me find it. We will give away a firehouse sub before we... Oh, here it is. Win a Firehouse sub gift card, ask for Bill, the Bill and Wendy special, and you'll get the make-your-own sub. You build a medium sub with one of your favorite meats. That could be turkey or ham or roast beef, fully loaded with lettuce, tomato, mayo, mustard, and a pickle spear on the side. It's the make-your-own sub, the Bill and Wendy special. It's only $4.99 at Firehouse Subs. You can find the nearest Firehouse sub to you at firehousesubs.com. That's Firehouse Subs, the hero of all subs. If you want one of these, dial us up right now at 312-981-7200 and be caller number 8. That's caller 8 at 312-981-7200. We'll check in with Steve in just a little bit. It's Bill and Dane on WGN. Kim, thank you so much. Hi, everybody. I'm Bill Leff. You already know that, but what you didn't know is Wendy's not here today because she is interviewing for the role of juror. She will be a potential juror in a case, maybe high profile, maybe low profile. Nobody knows yet.
It's got a good chance. They need, I'm told, multiple.
12.
Right?
They're looking at 12 different jurors in this particular case. So she's gone today. She's scheduled to be back tomorrow. We will keep you posted. In the meantime, Dane Neal is here. Dane is certainly a friend to everybody here at the radio station. And as we mentioned earlier, has exciting news about a new show that's starting in March. Dane, that show is?
It's On the Road with Dane. We're going to talk about, it's kind of a motorsports, like an automotive lifestyle show, conversations with some of the biggest stars in the world of racing and cars. But the conversations are going to be, you know, kind of the backstory about them, their families, their passions, things that they do. We're going to check in with all of the car related cruise nights around the Chicagoland area, you know, and travel too. We're going to talk about travel.
Big name guest stars. Don't leave that out. Big name guest stars.
We've got some pretty, you know, I mean, we've got some, we're in the works here. You know, it's in a formative stage, but needless to say, we're going to have, so like Danica Patrick will be joining us. We're going to have, like Jeff Gordon will be in there. Kevin Harvick will be one of those first guys, plus some of those historical people too, and current people that are out there doing it.
It's going to be fun. And all this starts in the middle of March.
March 18th.
On Saturdays.
Yep. And for the listeners, an interactive thing, be able to share your thoughts, your favorite road trip, your, you know, favorite car store. I think everybody's got one, and it'll be exciting to hear.
Will you or anybody on the show make that car racing sound effect that everybody can make?
Everyone will make that noise.
Where you, it sounds like a car is far away and quickly approaching.
That's like the Jetson one.
Now, that's the space age one. But the more authentic one is, everyone does that.
Yeah, we'll be doing that. I don't want to let too many of the cats out of the proverbial, you know,
I don't want to blow the surprise,
bang,
but
right?
You will have top name like Al Luntz or Gordon Johncock. They'll come on and they'll go,
people that are alive will be on. Yep, absolutely.
Will there be any mention of the Penske car? Because a lot of times when I was growing up, there was a guy on describing the race. Jackie Stewart was his name.
Jackie Stewart.
And Jackie Stewart would talk about the Penske car. Okay, here comes the Penske car. You heard that a lot.
Hey, that's an iconic race team. Roger Penske, it would be great to have him on. These are good suggestions. And yeah, I'm sure people would want to hear from him. I'm not sure if, see, he's so ingrained in, I'm not sure if he has a life outside of what it is that he does on the business side, but you never know.
Who knows? All right. So again, that's the show that's coming up in mid-March on Saturdays. Congratulations for getting that. Very happy for you.
Thank you, Bill.
Now, if we can, a lot of times on the show when Wendy's here, we talk about certain personality quirks. I have a bunch. Wendy, everyone has a bunch. No matter who you are, you have a personality quirk or two. I don't want to call you out on it, but I'm just curious. When you came in this morning, you brought with you a giant bottle of orange juice, and that was 3 hours ago. And as I look over, you have, it's a 64-ounce bottle of orange juice, and I thought, well, I guess Dane's energy is reliant on him constantly swigging orange juice throughout the show. I look over at it, it hasn't even been touched yet.
Well, you know, I think I think, as big of like advertising campaigns as you can have. You know, it could become part of the fabric of America. You know, it's not just for breakfast anymore. Well, I'm starting one. It's not just for drinking anymore. So starting the whole collector side of orange juice. And so we've got what I have here. Looks like a
Tropicana?
2017 home style Tropicana. Looks like about
a
64 ounce. This is going to go on the mantle, maybe trophy case. Who knows? But, you know,
so is it your, is a bottle of orange juice your security blanket? Like, do you need it to get through the day? Is that what it's become?
Well, so you're looking at me like a stuffed animal or something, like my teddy bear.
Is that your security Linus blanket?
Well, I think if you look at things that are used as either security blankets or kind of, you know, your teddy bears, so to speak, none have more vitamin C than
than orange juice. The market. But I noticed earlier we had guests on, and when you'd start to ask a question, you'd go, and then you'd reach over for the orange juice and you'd cradle it, and then you got the question out. I noticed that a few times.
Well, we all have, and people that are listeners, you know, all kind of radio broadcaster types or people, right, that have to say things on command. You know, you have, you know, little, I don't know, traditions, right?
Right.
You know, things that you do. Maybe it's, I'll have orange juice with me.
That's all right.
That's not a bad thing.
No, there's
it's
way
better
worse.
Better than something worse.
No, you're doing...
insert hated thing now.
No, if it makes you more comfortable, and I even said to Kevin, what if Dane drinks all the orange juice? We should get him a backup, but you haven't even touched it. The seal's still unbroken.
Well, here, partly, the reality of it is, partly it's out of concern, you know, and consideration for you guys, that I would want to share the orange juice because it is in its jug form,
right?
It's not in a personal
size,
but I didn't have a cup. And so I'm really kind of actually wanting some orange juice.
You feel free at any time during the show. If you or anyone listening wants to have a cup of orange juice, I'm not here to stop
you. It's not
you.
Just for breakfast anymore.
No, it's not. Is that still their slogan? Because that was their slogan for a long time.
And then people started drinking it at all hours?
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
People would get up in the middle of the night and have an orange juice.
Big juice lobby was out there promoting all of those things.
Now, one of my doctors referred to orange juice. Now, although I like orange juice, I'm a grapefruit juice guy. I love grapefruit juice. But I was explaining to my doctor a while ago, he was asking me about my diet. He goes, what do you eat a lot of? What foods are the most common staples
for you? You mentioned Pez and jujubes.
I eat a lot of Pez. I do have a lot of Pez. Kevin will tell you more
good
days.
Good and plenty.
From time to time, if I'm in a good and plenty mood. I eat probably more Chinese food than anybody in
that's
North
true,
America.
You do.
I eat a lot of Chinese food. And that's as healthy for you as can possibly be. But I said, I drink a lot of grapefruit juice. And he smiled. He goes, what about orange juice? I go, sometimes. And he goes, diabetes in a glass. And then he just looked off like, diabetes in a glass. Is orange juice really that bad for you? I hope not.
Well, if I knew that, Bill, and thank goodness we're here kind of learning things as we go, then I certainly wouldn't condone drinking or carrying.
But you
much
just
less
carry
caring.
It. You're not going to get it from carrying
that's,
it.
That's true. Right. It's safely encased in its plastic bottle.
Right. I think you'll find with most foods that are potentially dangerous, if you just carry them and not actually ingest them or eat them, I think more times than not, you're doing yourself a favor.
I think that's what I'm going to do.
I should be a dietitian.
Right. Well, you know those people that have, let's say they're trying to kick the habit smoking wise.
Right.
Though some of them will carry a pack of cigarettes around. They want
to. You
just,
can do that all day long. Yeah, you're fine
just,
with that.
Just feel like they need to, you know.
I've seen people not light a cigarette. Have you ever seen this? I've seen this a couple times. People who will go through the motions, the smoking motions, but not actually light the cigarette.
There are a lot of habits. There are so many habits that are kind of built into that whole smoking thing. You know,
yeah.
People, they're in maybe a bar, then they kind of feel like, oh, I should be doing that. Or
right.
they feel like, you know, this is what they do in the morning. They have a cup of coffee and then they're smoking. I don't know that any of those behaviors are associated with orange juice. I'm not sure. but that's where there's a study needed.
There's several people from OJ Anonymous calling right now, but I'm afraid to talk to them. I'm almost afraid of what they might tell us. All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break, and then we have a lot more show. Enjoy some orange juice during the show. It may or may not be good for you. It's Bill and Dane in for Wendy on WGN. It's Bill F. Wendy Snyder is away today. She is a potential juror. We will keep you posted on that. As time goes on, Dane is filling in for Dane Neal's filling in.
How do they do that? And we've talked a little bit about it on the jury duty side. I've never been to the part where I've always been the half that gets sent home right away.
Yeah.
If there is some kind of, you know, celebration or maybe like a work party thing, like, oh, okay, we're in. And then so they get together, maybe some cocktails there in the courthouse or everyone.
I'm not sure that part happens, but keep going. Yeah.
Or just, you know, kind of hangs out and says, whoa, we're in this thing, right?
Yeah.
You know, or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering. I don't know.
I mentioned this earlier. For the past couple of weeks, she has been so excited about today. She's never been called for jury duty before. And I guess to some extent, it's not an honor, but you say to yourself, that's part of the game of being an American citizen.
Right? It's like a civic duty.
Yeah.
And you're required to do it. I think they can punish you in some way if you decide not to. I'm pretty sure you could get out of it if you just, like you, we talked a little earlier, bring a puppet with you.
Yeah.
Act crazy in any kind of way. Then maybe they're like, well, we don't need this guy impacting the verdict.
If you pretend you're hearing voices all through the audition process, that I think you're in good shape.
You're probably okay. But you wonder, I mean, it would be, it's, you know, such a important part of what goes on in the country, you know, the judicial system. It would be kind of interesting to see it up close, I think.
You know what crossed my mind is I've been up to the stage she's at twice, the audition process, you know, where they ask you the questions and stuff. And both times I thought to myself, I don't know if it's a major case. Like, let's say it was a murder case. I don't know that I would want the responsibility, even though it is your responsibility, I'd be afraid of making the wrong decision of saying, yeah, I think that guy killed somebody, or no, I think that guy is free to leave. I don't think he did anything. I'd be so afraid of being wrong and setting a guilty man free or an innocent man, put him in jail. I know that's crazy, but that weighs into it a little bit for me. And actually, one of the times I said that, I said, I would be afraid of making the wrong choice.
You wonder how different.
And I was dressed like Ringo Starr.
And you were dressed like Ringo Starr.
Just to say, just in case they were still on the fence.
Yeah, the tambourine.
Talking about our early years in Hamburg, Germany.
I think that, right. Then you make the choice. Because maybe they're into that. Maybe that's, hey, that's our demographic.
Ringo impersonators.
Right, Ringo impersonators. That's our guy. You wonder if you get into those situations on, let's say, a jury, and then you wonder what the... Because when you're in that situation, at least from all the TV shows that I've watched, is you're making all of those decisions based solely on the evidence that's provided for you, presented to you, and a lot of that's restricted. Whereas us watching on television as they cover things or mm-hmm. do some of these kind of exposés on the parties involved or the situation, some of that information is not available to the jurors, and so they're making decisions based on what it is that they have. So you wonder, you know, whether it's the was it Kaylee Anthony or whatever, that one case where it looked like she was obviously guilty,
yeah.
but they, you know, she was found innocent, you
right.
know, or any of the ones that are in the news right now where the public opinion is one way.
Sure.
It doesn't work the other way. And you understand that there's a protocol and that the lawyers and the legal team still have to do their job, right?
Right.
They have to succeed. You look at the OJ thing.
That's
a lot of people
decide
he's guilty,
example.
But they didn't do
the
a
jury
good
didn't
enough
think
job.
So.
Right.
Yeah.
And you wonder if, you know, what it would be like to be back there making those decisions based on the information and then get out if you've been sequestered and realize that the public had it totally different.
Here's what the other thing that makes me nervous about it. And again, I've seen this in movies and television. I've not sat in on a lot of courtroom cases and seen this firsthand, but I'm guessing this happens to some extent. When they show the jury, you always have somebody either doodling or just not paying attention. And you think there's so much at stake. How could you not pay attention to every single second of the testimony throughout
sometimes
the trial?
Sometimes sleeping.
Right. You see him sometimes dozing off. I mentioned this on the show the other day. I didn't even vote for the Screen Actors or Screen Actors Guild Awards this year because I didn't see all the movies. And I felt like, who am I to judge what the best is if I've only seen 3 out of 5? I can't possibly do that. So I was like that with movies. Think about what it'd be like to be on the jury of a major trial.
I mean, if you slept through a certain percentage
right.
of the days of testimony.
That wouldn't play out well.
One of the things about that whole scenario that just is always kind of crazy, and I think it just shows that, hey, we've got a country that's got people with viewpoints from all different
yeah.
angles and sometimes out from under rocks is you get these people who commit these terrible crimes, but yet somehow they've got fans. These ladies are writing them, or sometimes even it's a juror,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
That falls in love with the defendant.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, and I hope that doesn't happen to Wendy because I think she...
That'll happen. That will happen to her. You'll see.
You know, if you're like the Night Stalker, and then somehow you're like, he got married today. You're like, well, who's doing that?
I know. Here's a text. 847 says, jury duty was the best day of my life. I have 5 children, and I have not been to the bathroom by myself since 2004. But on that day, I got to sit and watch TV. I got to listen to the radio. I got to eat food when I wanted. I got to go to the bathroom when I wanted. And then after resting up for the morning, I got an hour for lunch. Then more TV, and I got to read a book. My number was never called, and I got to relax the whole day. I got to go to the bathroom by myself.
So jury duty is really more like a spa experience.
It is. It's far more.
Like... Soft music. Maybe Wendy right now is prone with cucumbers on her eyes.
Probably.
Hot stones and some Enya music.
Right. That's what goes on at jury duty. Now, do you still get your, is it $11 a day or $12 a day? Do you get that for this end of the process, or does that money start kicking in once you're selected to the jury? Do you know?
Ooh, I don't think you... Well, I never did. Maybe there's a form I could have filed to get my $11 for half a day, but I think you... I think once you're on the jury...
That's when the payment
then you're
starts.
In. But you got to think, right, you still have to take that day off just to go show up to be told to go home.
Right.
But sometimes it's worth it, like the texter.
But your job, I don't think work is allowed to stop you from going. Nope. I think that legally... You're within your rights. You have to go. And like in Wendy's case, now she's double dipping. She's getting paid by us and she's getting paid
by well, and you look at
the court system.
She saw that as this was a day away. This was a getaway day.
Right.
This was,
she got paid to relax.
And you have, I think, the weight and power of the judicial system of America
right.
behind you. Like you, your kids can't say, hey, wait a minute. Apparently, from what she said, we want to go to the bathroom with you. Right. Right. This way, it's like, no, right. My country needs me and everybody's yeah. got to take a step back.
So true. Very, very true. All right. Here's what we'll do. We'll take a quick break. Steve has the news. And then a very strange chapter in the life of Johnny Depp. We'll talk to ABC News to find out what's going on with Johnny Depp. It's very peculiar. That's coming up in just a little bit. It's Bill and Dane in for Wendy on WGN. In a couple of minutes, we will talk to David Blaustein. David is a correspondent over at ABC News, and he will tell us about a very peculiar court case involving Johnny Depp. One of our favorite actors, Johnny Depp, is involved in a court case. It has some weird financial twists and turns.
Any chance that Wendy could be the juror on that case?
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah?
That's what I'm hoping for. Speaking of that, by the way, a bunch of texts have come in at 312-981-7200. Confirming the fact that once you do the stage of the jury process that Wendy's in right now, she doesn't know if she's been selected or not. It's just the interview phase where they ask you questions, that your money starts kicking in then. You know? So she gets paid as of today just for showing up.
Nice.
The money starts kicking in, and it's a ton of money. I hope she's going boat shopping over the weekend. She can get herself a nice yacht.
This is a celebrity juror.
Also, I think I kept saying that the amount you get is $11 or $12, because that's what it was the last time I went. That's what they were talking about.
I thought it was like 15 or something. I couldn't remember.
Between all the textures we got, they all seem to think that in Cook County, it's either $17 or some have said $17.20. I guess if you're the foreman on the jury, then you're talking big money, $17.20. But it's somewhere between $17 and $17.20 per day. So.
You wonder how they arrive at that, because
I can't figure that out.
It's like, well, how much do they need? Well, you're like, well, I could get by. You know, it's like George Bailey and the whole, right, what do you need? He's like, I want all my money. No, I need $12. Like, bless you. You wonder if it's, or that's what it, because that's, I guess they do give you lunch, right? So you don't have to, and maybe that's gas money to where you can get to the furthest edge of the county. You know,
I can't figure out how they determine that. But I always think that too whenever I see like a multi-million-dollar salary in sports. Like you'll see some basketball player who was signed on for $14 million and then $6,000 a year. And you go, what? Why wouldn't it be rounded off? Why are you getting that extra $6,000?
Maybe that's the commission for the agent.
Maybe. Could be. All right. Let's go to the phones. David Blaustein joins us right now. David, of course, from ABC News. We've talked to him many times, but never under these circumstances. David, please tell me Johnny Depp's going to be okay, is he?
I don't think so.
Uh-oh.
Johnny Depp
Uh-oh.
Is in deep trouble.
Uh-oh.
Johnny Depp, maybe not the most self-aware person in the world. Maybe
right.
the type of guy who walks into a room full of reporters in a closed hotel room and just starts smoking a cigarette in a building where he shouldn't be smoking a cigarette.
That happens, yeah.
Doesn't crack the windows, even though his cigarettes are so incredibly stinky. Very, very expensive.
David, it almost sounds like you've had an experience or two. Have you been in a room with Mr. Depp where this has happened?
And his cigarettes?
Yeah. They may have been Nat Sherman cigarettes, which are very expensive
yeah.
cigarettes. I'm not exactly sure where they're available. I know they have a specialty shop in New York City, and they are expensive.
Yeah.
I think he has since quit smoking. But Johnny Depp, to his credit, you know, he's dressed up as his character from Pirates of the Caribbean, and he's visited kids in school, and he's visited
hospitals.
Children in hospitals and
yeah.
stuff like that. And he's given money to charity. But I will say, in covering Johnny Depp over the years, like I said, I don't know if he's the most self-aware person in the world, and I'm not exactly sure if he's that in touch with the layman or the blue-collar worker.
The everyman.
So when we find out a couple of weeks ago that he has sued his business managers for something like $25 million, I think it was $75 million. And we think, oh, wow, somebody really screwed over Johnny Depp. Well, his business managers are not going down without a fight. They have countersued Johnny Depp, and these legal documents are kind of explosive, and they give you an idea of what kind of spending habits Johnny Depp may have had. And it's extraordinary. I mean, part of the reason why we're so interested in celebrities, we always want to see, we want to know how the other half lives. And, you know, some of us want to be like, oh, they're just like us. And some of us want to be like, oh, they're not like us, and I wish I could be them. So it's cathartic, right? But, man, these guys are saying that Johnny Depp had a $2 million a month lifestyle habit, was spending $30,000 a month on wine, blew through $75 million that he used to maintain 14 homes. That includes a French chateau and a chain of islands in the Bahamas. Also apparently spent a lot of money on a 150-foot yacht, also a ton of money on private jets, which he just strictly used to cultivate collections of fine art and Hollywood memorabilia. So Johnny Depp sounds like he's pretty irresponsible with his money.
Well, David, the yacht, all right, that's kind of in the textbook, in the playbook for Hollywood expense. Was he doing anything crazy, kind of Michael Jackson stuff, buying, you know, carousels or wild animals or anything like that?
You know, they don't get specific about the art and the Hollywood memorabilia, but there's probably some weird stuff in there.
Well, there's a story, David, and I don't know if you can prove this to be true or not true, but there's been a story that he, Johnny Depp, at some point spent over $3 million to buy the ashes and a cannon. He bought the ashes of Hunter S. Thompson, who he played in a movie once, and he blew off the ashes in a cannon. And that day, that event cost him over $3 million. You've heard that story, too.
That's insane. That's a story that's been repeated many times, and I'm not 100% sure about the veracity of that story.
Yeah.
But it's been around for a while. And, you know, again, based on what I've seen from Johnny Depp, I would sit here and tell you that it's extremely possible. I mean, none of what they're saying in this countersuit seems impossible to me. It all seems possible knowing what I know about Johnny Depp.
You wonder what some of the reasons are for the character choices and the movie choices, because you think at that point you can do whatever you want to do. You're Johnny Depp, and people give Nicolas Cage a hard time for all the movies that he does.
Right.
Is this the reason, maybe the money is the reason why he's doing yet another Pirates of the Caribbean movie? Like, what else can Jack Sparrow do, right? Is maybe it's the dollars?
I think that's a very good observation, and I think that's extremely realistic. I think that's a very strong possibility because, in my estimation, as a movie critic, I don't think he should do that again at all. I mean, Johnny Depp, outside of the movie he made about Whitey Bulger, really hasn't done a good movie in years. I mean, it's been a very long time. I think he's made some terrible choices, and some of his performances, he really just mailed it in. That may have had something to do with it, but yeah, you know, I wouldn't be surprised at all if that was the sole reason why he was taking that part.
There's no Chocolat 2 anywhere down the pike? We can't look forward to that?
Oh, it's so fun that you mentioned that because it's actually about to become a Broadway show. And Philippa Sue, who is an original cast member of Hamilton and played one of the Schuyler sisters, will sing America the Beautiful on Sunday with two of her co-stars from Hamilton. And she's starring in Chocolat, the Broadway musical.
Oh, I can't wait.
Well, you think
good
of Johnny,
you
mentioned maybe not so self-aware, and he does always, he does often, at least in the last maybe handful of years, he comes across as maybe a little kind of dazed. He looks, he's got usually some variety of a strange accent or something.
Semi-British, kind of a British accent.
And he's the go-to guy when you've got some kind of crazy, weird, you know, character that you need to play, whether it's Willy Wonka or Edward Scissor. I mean, he's the guy that is the go-to for that.
Yeah, and he was good at it at one time. But Johnny Depp kind of always talks like this. Hey,
yeah, there's this.
Depp, and he slurs, and, you know, he drags his words. And
you can only understand two-thirds of it. What's wrong with that? But like you said,
exactly.
If you
It's strange. It's strange. You know, it's a question I get asked often when people find out what I do for a living. Mm-hmm. You know, who's the nicest celebrity you met? Who's the meanest? Who'd you like interviewing? Who didn't you interview? And I always tell them that, you know, you got to remember, most of the time when I'm meeting them, they're being paid to be nice to me because they're contractually obligated.
Sure, of course.
They have to promote whatever it is that they're promoting. You know, I've been fortunate enough in my life to hang out with a lot of very interesting, talented people when I wasn't working. So that's the only way I could really judge, and I wouldn't necessarily even share that. But I will say this. Johnny Depp is the one person, I will say, who has always been a little weird. And I'm a person who likes... I like weird. Does not necessarily mean bad. Weird can be fantastic, but he's never been the fantastic. He's never been the fantastic weird. That has always stuck in my craw when he walked into that room and started smoking cigarettes in a place where he's not supposed to smoke cigarettes.
That's a bit
and
much.
Just didn't even ask anybody if they cared and didn't crack a window.
My grandmother used to say, David, I don't know if your grandmother told you this, but you can be weird, but once you have money, you're not weird anymore. You're eccentric. So
yes,
I think
he fits under
the guise of eccentric. Do you remember a couple months ago at the MTV Movie Awards, he went up on stage, and this is right in the heart of his breakup with Amber Heard, and he looked like he was going to cry, and he thanked everybody for liking him and for believing him and being on his side. Did you get to see that?
I did see that, and I thought that was really interesting. I also judged him for marrying Amber Heard.
Yeah, that might have been a mistake, too.
I'm sure there are some people who... I'm sure she has great relationships.
That would be a rough ride. That would be a very hard one. Yeah, I can understand that. Although, you know who he used to go out with, and she's been in the news this week, too, Winona Ryder. They were an item for quite a while.
Boy, that Winona Ryder thing. did you see what Trevor Noah, what the Daily Show did with that video?
No. What'd they do?
All right, just look it up. I do not want to spoil it, but she made an appearance on the Daily Show last night, and it was better than, have you seen the pizza video?
Yeah, I have seen that.
Yeah, I think everybody's seen the pizza video now with Winona Ryder when she's just looking at following a piece of pizza that appears all over the place with all those various facial expressions. But Trevor Noah, the Daily Show, did a spectacular job.
I'll find that footage. Has she tried to explain, because I haven't seen since the awards, the SAG-AFTRA awards the other night, I have not seen her speak out on what exactly was going through her mind during that. Has there been any word on what exactly was up with her that night?
There's no word. I think what was up with her is she was being Winona Ryder.
Yeah. Yep.
I think Winona Ryder and Johnny Depp, they were probably a very good couple.
All right.
David, before we let you go, I said to my wife, because we watched that award show, and even before she went up with the cast of Stranger Things and was making all the facial tics and stuff, every time they did a pan of the audience, they'd show her sitting at her table, and she was already doing that. She was already making faces at her table. So that wasn't just a momentary thing. That was the night with her.
You know, I don't want to go too much into that. I don't want to speculate too much because I think Winona Ryder has had some difficulty.
She has.
In her life, and there was a period,
shoplifting.
She was arrested for shoplifting. I think at various points she's had a rough ride. I think some people probably think, oh, woe is me, poor celebrity. I mean, she's been famous since she was a kid, essentially, and had to deal with that. So things have not necessarily been normal for her. But I would not be surprised if there's something else going on there.
Could be.
So
that's her calling you right now. She's not happy with you.
Like, how dare you?
Well, David, we appreciate the report. We certainly hope Johnny Depp is okay and he can buy very expensive cigarettes and blow people's ashes out of cannons
that's
in the future.
Important.
Thank you, David. Have a great week.
Take care. Thanks for having me.
David Blaustein from your ABC News.
A little insight into kind of the quirky side of our you know, you think you know people, or you just think, right, you have some kind of familiarity with different characters that you like from movies, and sometimes the reality is quite a bit different.
Here's the thing about him, though. If you see him, we mentioned some of his better movies, and I will use What's Eating Gilbert Grape as a perfect example of this. He's perfect in that movie. He's so good in that movie. And then you say to yourself, I wonder what goes on, like, when you're that good of an actor, and he does. He escapes into these characters. Is it possible to still be sane in real life when you have that kind of ability to be such a chameleon like he is?
Well, I think if you're an actor, that's your mindset. I mean, you've got a little bit of that in you. I think probably, and David mentioned, kind of lose touch with reality. Once you get to the point where you can blow $75 million and not really feel it, maybe you're gonna love, but you still have it.
Right.
You know, people are probably saying, like ridiculously untrue nice things to you on a regular basis, right?
Yeah, so, that's probably
or they just let you get away with whatever. Not Australia, though, remember, because he brought his dog in and they were not happy. Yeah, they were not going to do it. So you wonder. But he is, and it served him very well because he is that go-to guy for whether Alice in Wonderland, you know, Willy Wonka, any of those weird Burton movies. He's like the guy.
Yeah,
you know got action figures. There's a handful of guys that do that. Mm-hmm. You got quirky, weird, boom, called Johnny Depp.
Yep. No doubt. All right, we'll do this. We'll take a quick break and then more show. You want to jump in? We'd love to hear from you. We're at 312-981-7200. It's Bill Leff, and it's Dane Nealon for Wendy on WGN. It's Bill Leff in for myself, and then Dane Neal is sitting in for Wendy. I just want to say one more quick thing about this Johnny Depp thing. We just had David Blaustein on, ABC News correspondent, talking about a court case between Johnny Depp and his former management team in which it was revealed that Johnny Depp is saying that he needs this money because his lifestyle is such that he's living a $2 million a month lifestyle, which the main reason we had David on was to talk about this. I don't know
how you
could...
Do you need 14 residents? Like, you couldn't even...
No, you don't need that many.
You're like, Dane, just to let you know.
You don't need... I've asked around, and you could get by with far less. I don't know how you would spend that kind of money. You always see this in high-profile divorce cases where one party says to the other, I've become accustomed to a certain lifestyle, and I spend on an average of $1 million to $1.2 million per month. I swear to you, and maybe it's because I'm on a budget of $20 a day. My wife, Terry, gives me $20 every day. I can spend it on whatever I want.
Smart.
I don't know how you would spend that kind of money. I have peculiar tastes in terms of collectibles and food and various things, but I wouldn't know where to begin spending $2 million a month.
I'm not an expert on that. Other than, I think we've all seen kind of some of those situations from afar where we've looked at someone with this giant pile of money,
right,
and then they blow through it in just, you know, a matter of years, and you wonder, like, what are you spending it on?
Right.
You look at Mike Tyson, had a couple $100 million. Granted, Don King was writing, I think, every check in the world to himself.
Yeah.
But, you know, he was buying, you know, Tigers and houses and Bentleys and then giving them away, if you know, every day or
right.
something. So, and then I think the posse, that's it. You know, what you want to do is, and I don't know, Johnny Depp has a posse, you know, like David said, he's a little odd and maybe not that much fun to hang out with. So maybe there's not a posse, but that seems to be the quickest way to blow through all your money is, let's say you're MC Hammer.
Yeah.
And you have like 30 people who all want to be, and certainly I'm sure deserve to be well paid.
Sure.
And they're, you know, kind of, you know, you're obligated to support them and their families. And
I guess
I think
so.
You can go through money pretty quick, but he's buying art. That's always kind of a, you know, and this is not the starving artist sale that we see, or the guy with, here's a little tree. It's not that guy. He's spending a lot of money, and then the wine thing.
Sure.
Know, these are all.
It adds up, but could it possibly add up to the tune of $2 million per month? You know, when this comes into play, every once in a while you'll hear a story about a guy or a woman who's won the lottery, and all of a sudden they have $180 million that they didn't have the week before. You see them on the news getting the big giant check, so they got all this money. And then a year later, you hear that their money's gone. And you say to yourself, what did you do in a year to lose that kind of money? I wouldn't know where to start to lose that kind of money.
I think on the posse line of thinking is you have a lot of family members that
want
assume
something.
That you're obligated, right, to help and support them. And, you know, I mean, that's one of the things I think that you run into when you win the lottery. You have deals like that. You wonder, so Johnny Depp, that's crazy, right? Because he's working all the time. It's not like he's
right.
disappeared and,
no.
geez, whatever happened with Lindsay Wagner? Does she have any money left? Doesn't it surprise you, though, Bill? You hear about some of these stars where you're thinking they haven't worked in a long time and they have lots of money.
Right.
And it's the exact opposite. You're like wondering whether it was, you know, syndication on their sitcom from the 70s
or
whatever, but they seem to be set. And then you have some people that are making, geez, he's got to make what, like $10 million a picture minimum? Kind of thing,
I
maybe
think
more.
He's above that.
Okay.
I'm positive he's above that.
That's why it's a head scratcher when he
right.
he's broke.
Well, there are, all right, what you just said about the stars of yesteryear. When Zsa Gabor died a month or so ago, they were showing where she lived, and she lived in a castle. She lived in an absolute castle. So I'm thinking to myself, was she that good with her money? Because there's all these stories about this guy.
No, but a lot of her husbands were, because she said she came out, the reason that her husband's, one of the things that she was really good with and successful in relationships, she was great at housekeeping. She said every time she gets a new husband, she keeps the house. Darling.
But the guy she was married to, this Christian von Anhalt guy, he was draining her for money. There was all kinds of stories about this guy has a business where I didn't even know this was a thing, but apparently this is a thing. His business is you give him money and he gives you, you get a title from him. Like your name is Dane Neal, but there's no, it doesn't start
so
out with
the
word.
So you could be like the Duke of somewhere?
Yeah, you could be Count Dane Neal. So he, his business arranged that. So you would give him X amount of dollars and in exchange for that, you would get a title.
Kind of like the Star Registry, right?
It's like the, yeah, it's a high-end version of the Star Registry. So there were all kinds of stories about how he came in and kind of bled her dry of money, but still they showed where she was living and stuff like that. She was living pretty good, and I don't remember, with all due respect to Zsa Zsa Gabor, I don't remember the last time she was in anything.
I think a lot of hers was kind of the traditional relationship style where she kept marrying all these guys. She lived a very long time. They died. She inherited it, and that kind of thing, as far as like she's concerned. You and so this current guy that you're talking about, the title,
Baron von Anhalt,
was he a lot younger? Was it kind of like the, remember Elizabeth Taylor with the head, that the carpenter plumber guy that was living
he
with her at the
like
end?
He was like 25 or 30 years younger than her. Yeah, yeah. And Martha Ray was another one. Remember, she married a guy. Martha Ray was
the
in
big
her
mouth.
80s, the big mouth. She married some guy that was in his late 20s or early 30s, and nobody saw that ever ending. How could that end poorly?
More power to you, I guess, if you're Martha Ray.
I guess
she
so.
Did. I remember her only. I don't remember her from her acting. I only remember her from the Polident commercials.
Yeah, she did Polident commercials, and she was on the show The Bugaloos. Remember on Saturday or Sunday mornings, The Bugaloos?
No,
she was
I don't
an
remember
evil bug.
That. So I do remember Polident.
Yeah.
So
right. I know. Well, she was in. I mean, in all fairness to her, she was in a bunch
I'm
of
sure
movies in
a...
the 40s and into the 50s, and then the Polident commercials.
That's when you cash in.
Yep.
Those ads.
The Polident. All right, a break, and then some news, and then there's a lot more show. It's Bill Leff, and Dane Neal is sitting in for Wendy Snyder. If you want to contribute, we would love to hear from you. We're at 312-981-7200. It's WGN. Thank you, Steve. Hi, everybody. It's me. It's Bill. And then over there, it's Dane. Dane is filling in for Wendy, who is on jury duty. She's scheduled to be back tomorrow.
Unless the trial heats up.
Well, I was trying to think. If when you are in the interview process... Let's say she is selected for jury duty. It's not instantaneous. It's not the next day, right? Some time passes before the actual trial starts normally, right?
It seems like it takes a while, but I don't know. I mean, maybe they can all agree just like, hey, we're all here. Let's just do this.
Right.
And you wonder, too, because, okay, is it going to be a high-profile case? That's one thing. But, you know, attorneys, there's some celebrity attorneys. Maybe she's got like an F. Lee Bailey there,
sure.
You know, and you like to see him kind of work the jury or whatever, and Alan Dershowitz, you know, some of these kind of famous attorneys. Maybe she's running in getting some autographs.
Yeah, maybe.
Or not.
I'm sure that's where she is right now, getting autographs. You know what I saw last night, and this was fun to see. I was watching Stephen Colbert's show, and Stephen Colbert probably the first thing people knew him from when he was emerging was his work as a correspondent on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart. So from time to time, it's reciprocal. Jon Stewart shows up on his show, and he did last night. And this is the first time he's been on since things changed politically in the country, since Donald Trump has been the president. So he was on, Jon Stewart was on, and he came out wearing kind of a version of a wig that Donald Trump has been alleged to be wearing, although he says it's his own hair.
He had kind of a Donald Trump look going.
Right. He wore an animal on his head, a very furry animal on his head, and then he wore a ridiculously long tie, and then he explained that that is the look that Americans must now have, is a very, very long tie and an animal on their head. That's the new look for America.
As opposed to, like, you know, the Marlboro Man, you know, like a
cowboy
on
look,
the range,
yeah.
Or, you know, like a patriot,
yeah.
You know, kind of character.
That's
or
the maybe, old news.
Or like the farmer.
Right. Right.
You know, some of these iconic American images now.
Yep.
You got the long tie and the animal.
Yep. So he was wearing semi-Donald Trumpian garb, and he came on, and he was very, very fired up. And then he was explaining how there's new rules to America. You know, he was telling the audience that things are different, that he has it all figured out, much like Donald Trump does. He has it figured out. And I'm going to play a little snippet from last night. I think this is the best, as Jon Stewart, in the guise of Donald Trump, explains exactly how we're going to handle this wall situation between ourselves and Mexico. Listen to this from last night.
Executive order number one, by the authority vested in me by the Constitution, I, Donald J. Jonah Jameson Trump, hereby direct that to secure our border, China, shall immediately and without hesitation send us their wall. Done. Boom. Boom. Okay. Don. Right. Boom.
That's a fine plan.
Don. Boom. Done.
I understand. I heard that.
China's wall sent us. Boom.
I heard the boom.
Done.
Heard the done. How then do we get Mexico to pay for
this
it?
This is the genius, Stephen. When the wall arrives at the southern border, we shut the lights. We pretend we're not home. It's COD. Mexico has to sign for it. Boom. They pay for it. Done.
So there's your solution. Sometimes, you just bring over the Great Wall of China and you insert that where you want the wall, and then you still get Mexico to pay for it. Everybody's happy. Boom, you're done.
I don't know if he said it in such a public way, but maybe they'll think that's just a, you know, kind of a decoy because now they know. But see, that's the oldest trick in the book, right? One of them, right?
Right.
That's it. COD. There you go.
It was very good to see the two of them together again. You know, I always thought that Stephen Colbert was one of the best of the correspondents in the Daily Show history. And then other people recognized that, and he got his own show, The Colbert Report. And now he's got David Letterman's old slot. He's an incredibly talented guy. Very, very funny guy. I really enjoy watching him.
When you look at it, those Daily Show, those correspondents, it kind of was a new style, at least. I mean, I appreciate it in a way that I never had, of comedic journalism, where you have this kind of artificial news program, and not everybody is in on the joke, right? Where you would have guys, you know, like whether it's Steve Carell, where you have Stephen Colbert, and you'd have them as these correspondents questioning people out in the field with this deadpan, ridiculous, like, kind of questioning line.
They didn't know how legit or illegitimate it was.
It was funny. And you wonder now, because, you know, David Letterman, you brought him up. He's got other things he's doing. But, you wonder if they'll get itchy when you're out there in the public eye so many times. You're there kind of that ambassador of the messages of the day, right? You're able to kind of share that. You wonder, and Jon Stewart, not far removed from it. And with so much going on, you wonder if he'll find maybe some kind of role. You know, he's not completely, you know,
he's in his early 50s.
Yeah. He doesn't need to retire. He's just decided to do something else. You wonder if, especially with so much material, right, wrong, or indifferent, however you come down on the political side, there's a lot to talk about, and you wonder if he'll get involved again.
It's a huge adjustment when you go from doing something like they did, you know, day in and day out, where you're combing the news and trying to find a slant or an angle and present it on your show, like Jon Stewart has done, and then all of a sudden you're no longer hosting a show, and yeah, you have all that time to go, I keep thinking of stuff, and I don't have an outlet. The most interesting one was Johnny Carson, who just did it so well for so long, and then when he was done hosting The Tonight Show,
he was done.
But he said at the time, yeah, this isn't the last you'll see of me, I'm going to be around, I'm going to show up, and everybody thought, oh, he'll do specials, and he'll fill in for people, and you'll find him on stuff. And then he didn't. He just didn't want to do it anymore.
He almost went on like full on Howard Hughes.
Yeah.
Right? Where it was like if there would be a sighting or something. He just didn't want to have anything to do with it. You can understand that, having so much of your life be part of everybody kind of spending the night with you anyway. But yeah, I'm surprised, right? Because you must get something out of it. But then again, maybe you just want to go off and kind of do your own thing. But I was surprised. You know,
well, Letterman looked like a mountain man.
I was going to say he didn't. It wasn't the Unabomber.
Grizzly Adams.
Like, but he did look like he'd let himself go.
Yeah.
You
big
know?
Giant beard and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Now, I already told you this, but I would like to share this with everybody. When I was doing stand-up, I worked with Jon Stewart early on before anybody kind of knew who he was. And his stand-up act was not political at all. I don't remember him doing a single political joke whatsoever. And the same of Bill Maher. I worked with him a couple times. And it was all kind of just observational stuff. It was very Jerry Seinfeld-like. And then it's interesting that both of them at some point realized maybe my market is more a political realm, and they went that direction because they're both really, really good at it. But back in their stand-up days, no sign of it at all.
Well, wow. Bill Maher for sure is like almost exclusively political in any conversation. So even if he's just a guest on a show, I mean, on some of the talk shows, whether it's Jimmy Fallon or Kimmel, you'll have, you know, actors or comedians come on, and then they're playing the role of, I'm a guest talking about the things I do for entertainment.
Right.
Where Bill Maher, that's him like all the way through. You wonder if it was, and you mentioned finding your market, if it's the kind of thing where it's like, hey, this seems to work for me, or it's something that they were really good at, or something that people decided to pay them for,
right,
you know, or if they could do other things. With Jon Stewart, you know, sure, he's a funny guy. Do you think he could pull himself away from the political side, or is it just he's so hardwired into it at this point?
I wonder, because in those early days where it was no political stuff, it just seemed to come so easy to him. And like I said, no mention of politics at all. I wonder if now you paid to see him somewhere, if he was doing stand-up somewhere, and his whole act was just the old kind of stuff, not even mention politics. I think people would be disappointed because they've come to know him and love him and respect him as just kind of beacon of some sort of political statement. And now to erase that from him, I don't know that that would work for him.
So
right
you think
now.
You buy a ticket to a Neil Diamond show, you got to hear Sweet Caroline, right?
Or you ask for your money back.
It's...
I want to hear Longfellow Serenade. I want to
Forever
hear Sweet
Blue
Caroline.
Jeans, Crackle and Rosie.
I'm leaving. Yeah, you right. better see those.
All the hits.
All right, a little bit of a break and then more show. Want to jump in? 312-981-7200 gets that done. It's Bill and Dane in for Wendy on WGN. Dane Neal is sitting in for Wendy. Dane has exciting news. He's coming to the WGN lineup on Saturdays. This happens in the middle of March. Dane, quickly again, the show is...
On the road with Dane, it's going to be kind of a motorsports, automotive, lifestyle, car buff kind of place, an oasis for those of us that that enjoy or spend any time in a car. This is the show for you. So we're going to have interviews with some of the biggest names in racing, but not necessarily just about racing. People know what they do on the track on the weekends. This will be great interviews and kind of looks into their life beyond sports mm-hmm. and families, passions. It'll be a great insight into things, and plus lots of local stuff and ways for listeners to get involved.
And it starts March
18th.
That's a Saturday. It'll be on Saturdays.
Yep, 2 to
right?
4.
2 to 4 on Saturdays. Hooters, by the way, is changing their business acumen just a little bit.
Why? Well, and I don't mean this because, you know, I can't remember the last time that I've been to a Hooters. It has been a long time. But when you have something...
Did you go as a small child? Did your mom and dad take you there as a kid?
We, you know what? We actually took the kids, the small kids.
Did
there.
You?
Well, not on. I mean, it just happened to be a place we don't think about it, and then you just don't know if that's maybe the. But then it's so kind of sanitized, and they do make a good buffalo shrimp, Bill. I'll have
do
to
they
tell
make
you
a good buffalo
yeah,
shrimp?
Yeah, yeah. But it seems like a business model. It's one of those. It's not broke, don't fix it.
Right.
Right. Well, who wants? They're doing something different.
I will explain what they're doing different. And now I have to say this. I have. I know this is hard to believe, but it's true. I have never been inside of a Hooters. I have passed by them. I have waved.
Is that
I've
on purpose?
Past. I don't know what it is. I can't explain it. I feel a tinge of guilt somehow.
Okay, because they make some decent. The food is. I mean, for what it is, you understand
right.
what it is. It's beer and it's greasy foods and hot wings and things like that.
And the ladies in the tight shirts.
They got the shirts, and then the they do have like orange shorts and then pantyhose.
Yeah,
you know, and gym shoes.
Right.
Yeah. So I mean,
which is that a thing? Is that a fashion thing anywhere else?
I do not think
Hooters?
It has ever
I think
been a
within
fashion
Hooters,
thing.
Hooters, it's a fashion thing, but outside
it's
of
a
Hooters,
uniform,
it is a uniform.
Yep. I don't think it's up for negotiation. I think because they all seem to be dressed so similarly, I'm pretty sure they got together on that.
Well, they're changing things around just a little bit over at Hooters. The Hooters that you've come to know and love will remain intact. You will still be able to visit Hooters. And have the spicy wings and the, what did you say, shrimp? What kind of shrimp?
The buffalo shrimp. They're good.
It says here, though, however, if you were hoping to live out your Magic Mike fantasies while visiting a Hooters restaurant, you may be disappointed because servers at the new restaurant will ditch the revealing uniforms that helped make the original restaurant chain famous. That's a phrase I have seen in the past. With Hooters and with Tilted Kilt and restaurants like that.
And Twin Peaks.
And Twin Peaks.
I mean, they're all clever.
Right.
Sort of.
In the old neighborhood, they had the Tilted Babushka. We used to go to that as a kid,
yes.
Where older ladies would dress up provocatively. That was always fun. These are known collectively as restaurants for obvious reasons. I don't think we need to dissect that. The first new location of the new concept, and they're calling it just Hoots, not Hooters. But Hoots, because you know,
still going with the because if you know, they will defer to it. And they're not gonna. They would never agree that it has anything to do with like restaurants
no,
or uniforms. What
no.
It's all about owls. Yeah, and
right.
So they're keeping with that kind of woodland creature theme with Hoots.
I would imagine. Now, again, I'm just guessing because I have not been in a Hooters. I have passed by, but I'm imagining on any given night that you would go into a Hooters, what you're seeing is a lot of owl enthusiasts gathered together to enjoy a meal.
Nature buffs,
yep.
Bill. At one with nature, a lot of that kind of stuff, a lot of camo.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Trees.
The new concept Hoots will utilize counter service, similar to the fast casual styles of restaurants like Panera Bread or Chipotle. In other words, instead of sitting down and being served by a scantily clad waitress at Hoots, customers will order from both men and women, and then pick up food at the counter or take it out and eat it outside of the restaurant. So in the past, if you're a guy and you wanted to be a server at Hooters, you stood little to no chance, right? They wouldn't hire you because that's not what. Although, couldn't you get on them and say, well, that's restrictive. You can't do that. How could you not let me serve at your restaurant just by virtue of me being a guy? You could sue them for that, I would think.
Well, there are guys working there. They're in the kitchen or something.
Not as right? servers,
right?
Though. Right.
Not as the iconic, you know,
right.
traditional, well known
right.
kind of employee,
right.
you know, kind of thing that you have going on there.
As much as I love owls, they still wouldn't let me.
As much as you love owls, I'm wondering, and we talked about Johnny Depp maybe having more money than he needed. You know, he's got enough to spend on expensive cigarettes and wine and private jets and all
right.
that stuff. Maybe too much, right? Maybe if he had less,
you can
he,
make that
he wouldn't
argument.
Get himself in trouble. I'm wondering if the Hooters Management Corporation might have more money, because this seems like something that would, I don't know, when they mentioned it's going to be similar to Panera and Chipotle, well,
yeah.
I think the reason that those are examples, because they're successful chains that already exist.
Right.
So why would you go to a Hoots, Bill?
I
know you wouldn't, because, you know, you're contractually obligated not to.
I guess not. I don't know why I've never, I don't know. I've been near them. I've just never been in one.
But, you know, I just had a thought, and maybe, because they are going to have the famous Hooters wings.
Yeah.
And they're going to have a full-service bar, and they're probably going to have a television, and when there's sports on, probably.
You can enjoy it there.
They'll probably have that. So maybe for those people that, I remember when they outlawed cigarettes in bars. And
right.
And my first thought was like, wow, that's never going to go over because all those people love to smoke. What are they going to do? Instead, it opened up to more people that weren't in there because they
true.
Didn't like the smoke. So maybe people, and this may actually work for us. Maybe I wouldn't necessarily bring my kids to Hooters because
mm-hmm.
it seems like it's more of an adult environment, but maybe we will go to a Hoots.
But people do. I know so many people who go, yeah, it's my kid's birthday. We're heading out to Hooters. And I go, really? And they go, yeah, that's where he wants to go. That's where we're going.
Is he 14?
I hope so. I don't know. Is there an age limit? You can
no,
get in there
I mean,
at any
could,
age, right?
You could see like a, you know, like a middle schooler being excited about a trip to, it's all about the wings.
Several texts are coming in. So what you're saying here is that Hooters is going out of business. No, I'm not saying Hooters is going out of business. They're changing their place in the marketplace just a little bit. Now, this is the interesting part, the most interesting part to me. The first Hoots restaurant is about to open next month. And they have chosen as the first location for Hoots, the restaurants that will have both men and women servers, Cicero, Illinois.
Hoots.
Isn't that, I don't know, I'm not, when you think about your big markets to try a new restaurant that you hope will go nationwide, I'm not positive Cicero would be my first choice, but
I
that's what they're choosing.
It's a bohemian thing.
Is that
it?
What it is?
I think it probably is.
Maybe.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't know, really. You wonder, right? But I see the mayor there with a ribbon-cutting ceremony and some proud members of the new Hoots team
right.
there shaking hands. And but it is kind of surprising, right? Because this is a Florida-based company. Granted, there are Hooters nationwide, probably worldwide, right? I think there are some in other countries as well. And so you wonder why they would choose. That is kind of weird, right?
I don't know that it would be my first choice. Maybe eventually I'd get to Cicero, but not right out of the box.
Like right out of the box.
Right.
That is strange. I got to look into this.
Is there a better name for a restaurant that would have men servers? Are we missing a name? Is there a name that you would think of right away that can be said on the air? 312-981-7200 if you can think of a name for a male-based restaurant of this type. And maybe there already is one. Does one exist that we're not aware of? I don't know.
Well, I know this is a restaurant. I don't know if it was a restaurant. Did they actually serve food in? But didn't there used to be like well, you've got those Chippendales and you mentioned the Magic Mikes.
But those were strip clubs.
Oh,
those were restaurants.
They didn't serve food.
I think they might have had some token food just to say we
yeah.
have food.
I don't know. I thought I heard something, and maybe this would be a topic for the business lunch. But wasn't Channing Tatum gonna start up
was
a touring Magic Mikes thing? I think a brick and mortar restaurant / like. Naked spot.
All right, they're already coming in.
There was Little Jeffy's, but no one wanted to see it.
I'm looking at the text. No one has said Long John Silver's, so I'm proud of everybody for not saying mm-hmm. that. Thank you for that. Chestnuts is one. I can't say that one. I can't say that one. Junkers, I'm not sure I understand. Bulges is interesting. Fluters. Tony has checked in with Fluters. Thank you, Tony. That's beautiful.
I mean, I think the clever names are one thing, and it's certainly amusing for us to talk about and people to hear, but isn't it, Bill, all about the food?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's all about the food. Wolfgang Puck would tell you that. All right, if you have one, can I do that one? Yeah, I can do this one really quick.
It's a Cowboy theme.
Dave, just say it really quick.
Longhorns.
Is that a real place or one that you made up?
We made up.
Oh, okay, good. I wasn't sure. Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it. I couldn't tell if
there's
got
to be a Texas-themed restaurant called Longhorn somewhere.
I would think there is. Yeah. All right, if you can think of one, it's not Hooters, but it's the male equivalent of Hooters. You got guy servers. What would the name be? 312-981-7200. We'll do some news, and then back to the show. It's Bill and Danan for Wendy on WGN. Steve, thanks so much. Hi, everybody. It's Bill Leff, and then Dane Neal is sitting in for Wendy Snyder, who is on jury duty, or deciding, or they're deciding, I guess, if she's on jury duty. In the past, I have said, we have some of the smartest, funniest people listening in all of radio, and I really appreciate that. That's a given. But I am amazed at their entrepreneurial skills, because we threw out the fact that Hooters is opening up a new kind of restaurant, a new concept for Hooters, where they will also have men servers.
And a male-centric.
A male-centric restaurant, just called Hoots. And I said, let's say you were opening up a restaurant like Hooters, but all the servers are men, maybe scantily clad, maybe not. What would you call this endeavor?
Well, you mentioned in early on that just the success of the movie Magic Mike, it's undeniable, yep. right? This isn't something to be kept under the rug at this point. I mean, yep. it's one of those things that's out there. Like, I think it's huge. I think that I think the lady diners of the world, right, mm-hmm. feel emboldened to enjoy their restaurant.
They deserve one, Dane.
However they want.
Yes.
And I think we've seen the success of some of those movies. And they made another one. Didn't they make a Magic Mike XXL?
There was a sequel to it, sure. Yeah.
So I think this is what they're looking for. They want to enjoy delicious or maybe at least reasonably priced food.
Yep.
In the company of, we don't have to say scantily clad, because I think what it does, and here's how this is hard, is and there's no pun there.
I
think it limits the pool of potential.
It does, doesn't
Not
it?
Everybody is a Channing. You got to outfit an entire restaurant, let's say a national chain.
Right.
Not everybody's Channing Tatum.
No.
So I think you go with those t-shirts where the muscles are kind of drawn on.
I like that.
Right. And then you just go with that.
Right.
You just make a case of like everybody.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. So what would you name your restaurant out there? It's going to be like Hooters, but on the other side.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many people by way of text have suggested the Twig and Berries. Now, to me, that sounds like a British themed.
Sounds very like an English pub style.
Yeah, like an English pub.
That's what I'm thinking.
With guys
little,
as
little
your servers.
Dim lighting and maybe some pot pies.
Yep. But several people by way of text have suggested that. Let's find out what Lori would name her restaurant. Lori, what would be a good name for a restaurant like this?
Hooters and Pellets.
Hooters and Pellets.
Wow.
So you have women servers, obviously, and guy servers.
Yeah, or just pellets.
Just pellets, just for the, yeah. All right. I like it. Very, very smart. Thank you so much, Lori. Appreciate it. So, you know, the best ones of these I cannot put on the air.
I think pellets sounds kind of like owl food.
Doesn't it?
Go get another bag of owl pellets. We're out. It sounds like something.
Steve Bertrand, our own Steve Bertrand, came up with Howard's Johnson. I love that one.
Thank you very much, Patton. Trademark.
There's one from north of the border. Now, I can't say it. I have to change a letter.
Now, when you say north of the border, do you mean the belt buckle, or what do you mean?
No, I mean Wisconsin.
Oh, worse.
Important distinction.
They have a obviously, they're a fan of the Green Bay Packers, so they would want to name it. It's similar to Green Bay Packers, but the A has been replaced by another vowel. I'll leave that up to you and your chalkboards to figure out what they're going
See,
with.
See, that ties into sports fans and also fans of scantily clad
people. I've actually got that T-shirt at home.
That exists?
Yeah.
Is there one? I didn't know that. 773 suggests this. This is a Chuck Berry tribute. My Ding-a-Lings. Would you go to a restaurant called that? Why not? another sports fan, Doug Flutie's.
Hey, didn't he have his own cereal? Like they were
I think
called
he did.
Flutie-O's or something?
I think he did. 219 suggests. Now, this is a classic sounding name. I think you could get away with this for a guy's restaurant, The Junkyard.
That is actually probably very good.
Isn't that good?
That sounds reasonable.
I think that sounds very
reasonable.
Some
of these maybe not so reasonable. That one's reasonable.
Hey, Bill, do you have a name? Let's say you had a restaurant like Hooters, but instead of women bringing wings, it's guys working there. What would that restaurant be called, Bill?
I think, remember from Dukes of Hazzard, the one character on there called Cooter?
Sure, I remember Cooter.
Oh, you know, Cooters.
So it's Cooters. It's like Hooters. But with guys, Cooters.
He was always asked if he had his ears on.
Yeah, they did.
Hey,
that
Cooter,
was
got your ears on?
Dress him up like Daisy Duke, put some shorts on him.
Why not?
Nothing falls out.
No, you got a success. I love it. Right. Bill, thank you so much. Have a good week.
Woo!
With the Magic Mike, I think traditionally they're people that would be, at least the ladies would say, like, easy on the eyes. Cooter, not so much. If I remember him, he had kind of a scruffy beard.
Yeah.
He had sort of like the trucker cap and a plaid shirt, and he looked always sort of sweaty.
Well, you wouldn't put him on your logo. You know, that would be a little too much. What about this one? This is, again, this house has kind of a classy sound to it, I think. 708 says members only.
That is not terrible.
That's not terrible.
We got the Junkyard and Members Only. Those I could see because there's enough double entendres in there to give you some cover.
Right.
You know?
Here, if you like your royal sounding names for restaurants, I don't think you'll be able to beat this one. The Crown Jewels.
Again, kind of the English pub.
Now, this one I think already exists, but in a slightly different format. Noodles and Company? Is that something that you would want to consider? You know, a lot of days I come to work thinking I'll be
like a pasta soup place.
Yeah, you would have pasta and soup,
and then sports and maybe some beer. So soup and beer.
I always like to I like to think that on most days I'm the most twisted person involved with the show, but something like
not.
This proves I'm not even in the top 10. If you have more of these, oh, here's one. This is fun. Pork and beans. I guess you could call a restaurant pork and beans if you served it. Why not? Saks Fifth Avenue, I think you'd get into some legal trouble, 815, but that's
and then you've got that it's got to be on Fifth Avenue. I mean, how many of those are out there?
Right. So there's some problems with that. Here's a celebrity idea, Dick Van Dyke's. I guess you could call, you could have a restaurant called Dick Van Dyke's.
At this point, and he is still, you know, still very funny, just sharp. I don't know if he's ready to make bad decisions like that yet. Who knows?
For him to invest in it. That's the only restaurant that you may or may not trip over the ottoman when you first walk through the door.
They do that. That's one of the things. You can get your picture taken tripping over it. But then again, remember, we talked about it before. Vincent Price did a Mr. Beef commercial, I think, so down the road.
Dick Van Dyke's special would be a Buddy Sorrell.
All right. There's a whole bunch of these. Oh, Little Dickens. That's obviously somebody who loves books, loves the classics.
Yeah, Christmas themed. Yeah. they're just wearing the hats.
All right. Do you have a name for a restaurant? It's like Hooters, but it's from a guy's perspective.
Yeah.
You got men serving. Give us a call or a text at 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Dana for Wendy on WGN. Well, I've never been more proud of you, the audience, for helping out with this. Hooters is branching out. If you're just joining us, for years and years and years, Hooters has made a name for themselves by serving up quality hot wings served by women wearing very tight shirts. And now they've got a new business model, and that's called Hoots, with guys also working there. But we said, what if you had the opportunity?
What if you really did it right?
Yeah.
Right? And you know, none of these things happen overnight, although some decisions kind of make you wonder, like, why the first one in the whole world in Cicero? Well, I'm wondering. Maybe they did the market study. It's the perfect demographic for everybody involved.
Yeah.
But if you really did it right, you're going to have those focus groups. You're going to have marketing, big, long tables filled with people suggesting things. And we have that because these listeners, I mean, they've come up with some great ideas.
Everybody's coming through. Hey, Tim, what would your restaurant be called? It's male themed. You got a lot of guys, maybe scantily clad, maybe not, serving up food. What would you call that restaurant?
How about in the Remembering Rocky, the Meat Locker?
The Meat Locker is a good idea. That's a very, very good idea.
Or the Nut Hut.
Well, you know, with I think those omega-3s that a lot of the nut family has, and then also too is what you're doing, Tim, is giving that homage to the food. It's all about the food.
Yes.
With the Meat Locker.
So true. So
That's
true.
Right.
Tim, brilliant.
With the nuts too.
I love
with
it. All right. Thank you so much, Tim. Have a good week. Now, Justin's coming at it from a slightly different angle. Justin, what would you call your similar restaurant? Male servers, maybe scantily clad. What would you call it?
Hey, Bill. Well, I like to stay on brand with the Hooters theme, and it's just a one-word name.
Yeah.
So I got two. I either like bananas.
Oh, I like bananas. That's good. Or what's the other one? Woodies.
You have like the woodpecker. There you go.
Yeah, that's your mascot.
Exactly.
Excellent. Yeah. Thanks so much, Justin. Take care.
I think whenever you go with something where it describes the place, you've got extra design issues, like the hut that Tim had mentioned. I mean, you got to go, what, tropical with thatched roof?
Yeah.
I think that could be tough.
That's going to, well, yeah, it is. It is tough. Here's one. Now, this would be more kind of a California theme, I guess, called Hang Ten. Would you do that? I guess you could pull that off.
Maybe surfing.
Yeah, like surfboards
slash
and things.
Naughty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stiff Competition is an interesting choice.
Ouch.
This is a sports bar primarily called Beer Nuts. Yeah.
Because you could be crazy about beer.
Right. One of those restaurants that specializes in various brands of craft beer.
Yeah.
Beer Nuts.
Like if you're an enthusiast.
What do you make of this one, Dane? The Joint. That one's cool, I guess.
See that, and I'm sure there are places called that. And then I think then you'd have to rely on either your mascot or your servers to kind of drive that message
right,
home.
Right. You could get, here's a, boy, they thought this one out. You could get Tim Allen as an investor and call it Tool Time. I guess that's all right if he wants to put some money in this.
I think that's what you call the happy hour. I mean, you got to think of ways right. to put in these elements.
Right.
5 p.m. It's Tool Time.
Bruce has one. I kind of like, Bruce, I like this idea. This would be a good idea for a restaurant where guys are the servers. What would you call it?
Gigolos.
Gigolos. Yeah, why not? That's not offensive to anybody, is it? I like it. Thanks very much, Bruce. And I want to get Elizabeth in on this, too. Elizabeth, this is a very good idea. I can't believe nobody came up with this until you. What would you call your place, Elizabeth?
Tutors.
Tutors. Now you're talking.
Like yeah, this. You got Hooters and Tutors, and you don't want to discourage the men from coming in.
Right. Absolutely.
It sounds like the sister restaurant to the Pork and Beans place, but...
Similar.
Yeah.
Very good idea, Elizabeth. Thanks so much. Some of these I don't understand, and maybe it's better that I don't.
Right.
Can I throw a couple at you?
Sure.
And I don't even understand this. This is a place called Icy Nibblers. I have no idea what that means to you.
It's, like it's an appetizer and cold drink-based restaurant that's specializing in kind of like bar food and cold drinks.
Right. Now, this one, I'm guessing, is mostly for vets. You know, a lot of times vets will go to the VFW hall, but why would they visit the VFW hall when they could go to a place called Little Soldiers?
I don't, you know, I'm not sure that, I don't know. Yeah, that I don't one, know. That's,
all right, that might be problematic. And then there's one more. I think I could say this one. Yeah, I'm gonna say it and then blame it on Wendy if I get in trouble.
Excellent.
This is a sports bar concept called Ball 2. Is that? I think you could probably go to a place called
You didn't say low and outside.
No. All right.
It's a baseball-themed place.
Right.
I get it.
Of course it is. All right. I'm just going to pick one at random because there's way too many good ones. So I'm just going to pick one at random. Kevin, I'll give you the phone number, but the person who I'm just moving my hand. All right. My Ding-a-Lings is going to be our winner. There were too many good ones. We can't give everybody shirts, but I'll give you the number for the person who texted in My Ding-a-Lings. They'll win a Wendy T-shirt. Thanks, everybody, for contributing. Very, very funny stuff. We'll come back. We'll find out what Rowan and Anna have next. It's Bill and Dane Neal sitting in for Wendy on WGN.